Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Am I in the audio stream? No, I think we're in the live stream.
I felt it as soon as I entered. I felt the transition.
Wow, it's like my volume went down.
You can adjust
I can hear you good.
Like sucking our energy, guys. I don't know about this.
Yeah, well, it's I'll just introduce it. It's Sunday the 8th, I think. Is it the 8th? I don't know. My watch is all over the place electronically. Of November, year of our Lord, 2021, as Ab would say. And there's a massive cast of real legends. We've got Fast Value, Kaham, oh my God, Purple Play, and Vidya. Wow, they're all the old talkers from the Hoaxbusters are here live. So
Fast Value.
Uh-oh,
what the hell is that?
Got a new one.
That's
a new intro.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Top of the hour.
Bang, bang, bang. That was a good time.
Hey.
So everyone's predominantly in America, and I'm in Australia representing the Australians. And thanks to Velocet for getting Kaham on here. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Velocet. You're the man.
Thank you, Velocet.
Appreciation.
He's the man. So how's things, Kaham? How's your life going in the COVID era?
Fantastic. And I get to teach. I'm a high school teacher, so I get to teach from home. And I can teach in my jammies, basically.
Do you wear a mask? She
gets all made up every day. Like, this lady, I'm telling
you,
she's tall.
I'm joking. I mean, maybe my bottom, you know, the bottom half is jammy. But no, I have to be professional and my Zoom camera's on. Yeah, I do. And actually, I'm smiling the whole time. It's hard to talk when you're smiling. Try it. Try to smile and talk.
I never smile.
I grimace. If I'm on that kind of thing, I just put a grimace face on, but that's just me. But yeah, it's fantastic. And so, I mean, the lockdown's kind of winding things back from what I can see in the USA at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, our restaurants are open now.
Each state's different.
I just talked to people in Wyoming and Montana, and each state's different, you know, so you just have to ask, but... Here, our restaurants are able to do one quarter capacity.
Wow. Clap, 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 clap.
Yay.
Arizona
is good.
Arizona is open, clear, clean and free. California is, all the blue states basically are in the lockdown.
They're trying
to
make an example of us. Yeah.
And, you know, like Texas, Idaho, probably even Nevada. They're like, they could give a flying. And actually, even Marcus Allen was saying last night, I was listening to his thing, that in Pennsylvania, they're lax. Nobody's
oh my gosh,
wearing masks.
Here,
they're wearing like three masks. It's like can you breathe?
I know.
My husband,
we got to the hardware store today, and he's laughing his face off. This lady's got her rubber gloves. She's got a mask over her mask with her big face shield in her.
Oh, my God. She's
getting out of her car.
Yes, I have a friend
who just appalling.
It's horrible.
And that's
it's good for a laugh,
too
though.
Much
don't you think it's actually
too much
funny?
Television.
Like, you can have a great laugh, though, when you go out. Look, you can just go, what an absolute imbecile.
No, the laughing part is when I go to the beach and the people, like, see me coming without my mask and they just, like,
run
out of the way. And they tighten their mask around, you know, like they tighten it up around my face. Like I'm going to like...
Stop breathing, everyone. Children, stop breathing. Here comes a mad woman. There's a mad woman coming. Quick. Stop breathing.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's funny because I talked to this friend of mine who's very, I don't know how much longer she's going to be my friend, but she has.
We all have those.
She wears gloves, she wears a mask, she goes and gets tested every 2 weeks, and she's just like, oh, just vigilant, you know, Karen. And she was talking about her daughter who has a hair salon, and she was working for this hair salon, and they opened up, and she was just horrified that, oh my God, they're drinking in the hair salon. So she had to like take her hair salon to her home. So now she's doing it in her home, and she's like only doing one person at a time, and she has to, the people have to call her and tell her if they've been tested, if they've, are they sick, or have they coughed, if they have a temperature, and if so, well, call me back in 2 weeks. I mean, it's just crazy. I don't get it. It's like, so she doesn't take these people unless she feels they're clean or whatever. I don't know. Ophelis, welcome.
Oi.
Say hello.
I did.
I've never, I don't remember, I haven't talked to you for a while, but I've heard you speak a lot, so I'm glad you're here. And JLB.
Yeah,
oh my God, look at that. John LeBon. John LeBon.
Cool.
Who let him in here?
No, it's okay, Hamish here. It's okay, Hamish here. And I thought, I have to come and say hello. So I'm just here to say hello to K-Ham and welcome her back and say it's great to see her, but I'm just putting
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Nice to hear from you, John.
Oh yeah,
well,
remember
I'm
going to
go back to mute. I'm in no state to speak. So
what
you
like that?
Carry on as you
are. Are you still drinking?
What are you going through?
He wants to be the new Rollo. That's what he's trying to
I know. I was thinking the same thing. He's like,
hey, I slur much more audibly. If anybody's taking Rollo's place.
Oh, don't worry. Oh, don't worry, Ophelis. We love your voice.
Yeah, anyway. You know, you got a great voice. Hey, you can tell straight away who it is. To have an identifiable voice is a major talent these days, because so many people sound alike, I think, sometimes. Kate, now change the subject. Has anyone else heard that Walker guy and thought that it sounds like Chris Kendall? Because I know he's from Texas, but
okay,
man,
you can answer that, because you've met Chris in person, so you take the floor on that one.
Who's supposed to sound like Chris?
Have you heard this Walker person?
A guy rang up, and he calls himself Walker. I remember Walker, Texas Ranger. That's where I get the word.
I don't think he sounds like Chris. Sorry.
Oh no, he's just got the same inflection, a bit of sped it up version slightly. But it was. Well, Marcus thought it was identical, and he's spoken to Chris for quite a lot. So
Marcus thought it was.
Yeah. Absolutely. He even called him Chris. Have you not heard him speaking to him? He goes, okay, Chris. Like he sort of said to him. He goes, he's so convinced. He called him Chris when he was talking to him.
Huh.
But yeah, interesting.
I haven't heard all the Marcus things. Like, I actually listened to just the recent one of him and Ab.
I reckon they're good chats. I'm quite impressed. I thought those two bounce off each other quite well.
This is awesome. Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy. There's like how many people in the room today? Cool.
I can't count. Yeah. I'm on my phone.
I'm counting squares here. I can see squares. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
A lot of little dots.
Benoit posted a thing the other day. It was like 20 people, I think, in the chat. He had a long list.
Yesterday there was a lot of people. Yesterday there was a lot of people.
It's in the live stream notes from yesterday.
How's Flow Rider going, mister? Is it all good?
I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's probably better than most places, but this mass thing is, I don't know what to think about it.
Tiresome.
Yeah, well, tiresome. At least you can see who's stupid now. You don't just need to assume. You can just see it straight away. You know, you can go, oh, you're an idiot. I don't want to talk to you.
Does everybody in the chat right now know who Carrie Mullis is?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mr. PCR, who mysteriously died last year. Funny that.
2019, wasn't it?
Just before the event 201. Funny that coincidence. No, I don't think so.
What do you think normies would have to say about the fact that he said personally on record that the test shouldn't be used the way it's being used now?
Oh, I keep trying to tell people that, but you know, it's very hard to find the actual quote.
Nobody researches. Nobody ever looks at that stuff.
And that Fauci's a shill salesman. He's just a
that's what he said. Have you heard him in his own words say that a guy's a gangster and I don't care what he says about it. That's what he said.
Exactly.
Have you heard Fauci? You know, when he sounds like a mafia man when the guy, I think it's Elmo, going, oh, so he goes, so Santa's going to be safe this year, and he goes, yeah, I went down to the South Pole and I gave him an inoculation. He's coming. He's good to go.
He's good to go.
That's what he said.
He's a salesman.
It's really abusive, though. It's very abusive. It's traumatizing to children, though. It's absolutely. It's shameful.
Shameful of the worst magnitude. I mean, this has made them wipe the Nazi slate clean, as far as I'm concerned. Those guys are absolute good guys compared to this lot. I mean,
They say they are the same people. They just change their names, because if you actually back to their family history,
Fourth Industrial Revolution, Fourth Reich. Same thing. Yeah. And Klaus Schwab, he comes out speaking in a James Bond villain voice, looking like Blofeld, sounding like Blofeld, with a thick, you know, German accent, you know, speaking all this stuff, and he's terrifying. He's the distraction, though. He's not the one to look for.
He's the distraction.
He's the front man, that's all.
Miles Mathis has some interesting background on Schwab.
What does he say?
Connections. It's a pretty recent Miles Mathis paper. It might have been a guess.
Klaus Schwab and Henry Kissinger were friends at Yale. Is it Stanford? Which is the university Kissinger did, but they were, and he was his protege at that university, studied under him.
Was he at Stanford?
No, that wasn't Stanford. But it was the one that Kissinger did his final degrees, because I don't know if you know much about Kissinger, which I do. The guy's so heavily degreed, he falls over in the shower. I mean, he's got that many qualifications.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
I have lots of family members that graduated from Stanford, and my sister has a poster of Kissinger on her wall, like he's some fucking hero.
He got his
pardon my French
and PhD at Harvard.
You're right. That's where, and so also Klaus Schwab went to Harvard as well.
It's been a whole day in a room with Kissinger once it was a meeting with about 20 people or something.
No freaking way.
Wow.
He was on the board of directors of American Express, and it was one of their top brass meetings, and I was there to record it. So I just kind of sat in the corner with a tape recorder and monitor.
Did you feel creeped out?
Well, that's the weird thing. He's so unassuming, and so you would think that you'd feel waves of evil coming off the guy, but you don't. It's just notice him at all. It's very strange to think of somebody like that being so.
Well, I spent Madeleine Albright came to a bookstore in Palo Alto here a few years back, and she was signing some books, and I accidentally walked in. I had no idea what was going on, and it was just like, oh my god, that's her. And she, you know, there's like all kinds of evil things written about her, and I didn't want to get close to her because I thought she might, like, give me the evil jibe or something. I don't know.
Well, I shook Harvey Weinstein's hand one day, and he just came across as a big, tough gangster, you know. So I didn't even know who he was, and I thought, that guy's tough, you know. Like, he's just big, big, swaggering, but really friendly. And he seemed like a nice guy, you know, and he talked away to me, and then 5 years later or 10 years later, I realized who he was. You know, a gangster in the movie industry, basically. Big time. Big gangster. But, yeah. Allegedly in jail, but I don't think so.
A rapist.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Wow.
See? They're amongst us. I mean, again, you know, I am Silicon Valley adjacent, and there's, you know, Condoleezza Rice and Wolfowitz. All those dudes are hanging around in my airspace here. I mean, well, I don't hang out at Stanford, but, you know, they're close.
Madeleine Albright, she's creepy, that one. And
yeah.
I just went through a book, her latest. She's written she's got a new book out. About her life, and I was looking through the jewellery she wears. You want to go through and have a look at her jewellery collection. For some reason, there's pictures of it in there, and it's some serious symbolic shit, you know, serpents and all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know why there's photos of it, but it's in there. So if you want to have a look at her latest book, well worth having a peruse. Dodgy as fuck, I would say. And she was the one that was happily saying how wonderful it was when they were in there bombing Yugoslavia.
Killing children, yeah.
Killing children, yeah.
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 There's that interview where she says it was worth killing 500,000
right.
yep. women and children.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's good
yep.
with that.
yeah. And if, you know, she looks like, what's the RBG? Who looks like a lizard, literally, like a reptile, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right, right.
Just have to take a look at the woman. I mean, it just looks evil
exactly.
to me.
When yeah. I walked into that bookstore and she was sitting on the, I mean, this bookstore is, it's not that big. And I walked in and I saw her on the other end and everybody was like sitting around her. And I was just like, holy crap, I'm in the dungeon of evil. And I just turned around
yeah.
and walked out.
Yeah. And they have sycophants, which
yeah.
is strange.
People thought she's awesome. Yeah, it's like
Like, I was in the house. I was reading the book. They bought the book because they love her. They think she's fantastic. And I also read the RBG book the other day and had a look at that. And these people that own the book love her. She's a hero to them. It's just frightening. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of adoration for these public figures, these politicians. It's
right.
pretty disturbing.
Yeah. What about Tony Blair? People think he's fantastic. I mean, the guy that looks like a sleazy psychopath is a sleazy psychopath.
Yeah, that's another one I met in person. I was face to face with Tony Blair. I actually pinned a microphone on him. And,
excellent.
And he was another, he came across as kind of goofy, kind of just, you know, like happy-go-lucky. Nothing that... No danger.
No sense of danger. No,
coming
look
across.
At Bill Gates. Look, he's picked because he's so innocent looking, and he looks like a nerd with a pencil protector that got picked on at school. You know, but in actual fact, the guy or woman, I suspect a woman. I don't think he's a man. She's a man at all. I think this the voice when you try and imitate him. You know, final solution. There, and he's got a really high pitched female tone to his voice.
Kind of a Kermit sound.
Very much. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Very interesting.
I almost have the impression these people would, like, actually doing anything physically to harm anybody. It would be beneath them. You know, I don't stab anybody myself. I leave that to my underlings.
To other people.
To
yeah.
I just.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's.
Are we talking about Bill Gates?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or no, Tony Blair, same thing. Yeah, same thing. You know, the guy's he's got everything in his personality to be registered as a psychopath. Likeable, has no remorse whatsoever for what he's pulled off. I mean, what they did to Iraq in 91 was his blessing. Or was it 90 or 2001, you know? I can't remember when he was Prime Minister. Was it? I think it was 2001. Anyway, so absolute psychopath.
There's a really good interview by True Pundit, and he interviews two accountants who were researching the Clinton Global Initiative, and that was the one that put me on to, there's a meeting in Rwanda in August of 2019 that had the Gates Foundation, World Economic Forum, and it had Senator Bobby Rush, Paul Farmer from Partners Health, Jonathan Epstein, who was Dr. Jonathan, whatever, creation of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine out of Penn State University. They were all at this meeting in Rwanda. And oddly enough, there was another lady named Bordich, something, I can't remember her first name, who was...
Bumper.
Yeah, I'm going to let the bumper go.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
Anyway, this Elaine Bordich, I'm not sure if that's the right name, but she was in charge of administrative regulations under Obama and had to do with elections and inaugurations. And there was another guy there from the UN who was called the UN's chief storyteller. And it's just a very interesting coincidence or whatever you want to pre-planning, because Bobby Rush, the senator from Illinois, was the one that came out with the contact tracing bill, which was awarded to Paul Farmer's Partners in Health Group, the contract to do that. And then, of course, Jonathan Epstein and the Pfizer Moderna thing. And then you got the UN chief storyteller there to create the narrative. And it's all available if you look for Aspen Institute Rwanda 2019. It has the list of attendees.
Interesting.
There.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. If you can find that interview, I should drop it. I might have already done it once upon a time. The channel's gone now, so I'd have to repost it. But it's a really good interview. They mentioned a lot of non-governmental organizations that had ties to the Clinton Foundation and all these overlapping positions of things that are, you know, moving behind the scenes. I think they talked, there's $3 trillion of tax-free foundation money flowing through universities and various groups to influence policy and education priorities, God knows what else. Yeah, there's so much manipulation and manufacturing of opinion and perception. And
you just got to look at the curriculum. I mean, it's all just nonsense.
It's really strange because people have this idea they're going to go to the poll and vote for this particular candidate or whatever, and they think that they're looking at, you know, the surface or whatever, that's all there is, that there's just this giant mechanism of puppeteers pulling strings behind the scenes that they have no idea about. And it's a very interesting kind of illusion that they've created.
Just the fact that you have all the schools have the same shit. They're all pumping the same.
Is that Common Core, though, isn't it? Is it Common Core?
Do you know where that came from?
Yeah, kind of. Because I listened to, what's his name, the school teacher that died a couple of years ago.
That's a Gates thing, I think.
Yes, it's Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yeah. Well, what's the name of the school teacher kind of truth guy?
Are you talking about John Taylor Gatto?
That's the one, John Taylor Gatto.
Did
he
die?
Fantastic. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh,
a couple of years ago.
I didn't hear about that.
He was very, very sick.
Limited learning for lifelong labor.
He was the guy who got me to homeschool my daughter. Okay, so here's a weird story. The woman down the street from me who doesn't actually live in my neighborhood, she's a real estate person, I guess you could call her. Anyway, she's from Southern California, and she, it's weird how we came in contact with each other, but long story short, there's a whole lot of other stories there. But anyway, her daughter, got tapped to work for Bill Gates. This was probably about a good 6 or 7 years ago. And her daughter was a financial person, and somehow he tapped her to come work for him up in Washington, and they were putting together all their school programs, all the shit that they had were going to put into the curriculum to further all these Common Core programs. And their biggest client was the LA Unified School District. And, you know, and of course it's all over now. It's like, how does that happen where you just get into one of the, obviously it's the largest school district in California, but you get into that school district and then next thing you know, it's full on across the country. They were creating all the programs to put the computers in the school, to get all the applications to push all of these, you know, the global warming, the transgender, the all that crap that they've been pushing for the last 10 years, 10,
well,
15.
Well, a lot of that purple play is kids listen to CNN in the classroom. There is CNN for students to listen to. I mean, you don't
really
need curriculum for that. They just, yeah, I mean, I'm a high school teacher,
well,
and the first
right.
10 minutes to class is CNN, boom, just turn it on.
Oh,
and the
far,
kids
yeah.
listen to all that, you know, the transgender stuff and the, you know, global warming hype. And I mean, even I remember just before we shut down for COVID that they were scaring the shit out of those poor teenagers.
Yeah. Yep.
Every day. Oh, it's the worst ever. People are going to die in groves. They're going to find them dead in the streets.
Exactly.
It's interesting if you look at the six corporations that own all the media, about, I would say, 80 or 90% of what they're involved in is storytelling in some fashion, whether it's movies, television, drama, magazines, publishing houses, whatnot. And this little tiny section down at the bottom of whatever they have, news, and it's just a little probably disingenuous to think that they reserve that section for facts and objective reporting only. They don't use that whole massive industry that they have behind fictional storytelling to use the same techniques in the news. And they never come out and say, somebody was making this point the other day, that they don't say, okay, what we're about to tell you is true, or, you know, they just, like, the banner comes on and it says news and everybody just assumes,
right.
Like, where does that really come from? Like, well, how do we grow up with this idea that the news is factual? Nobody's ever told me that and set me down and told me that.
And where was the court case where the guy tried to sue someone and they said, we don't need, the news doesn't need to be true. It doesn't need to be true. I think it was when,
Chris said something about that.
Yeah, it was about milk. It was about bovine growth hormone and milk. And I think some of the companies were trying to label their products as, BGH free or whatever. And they got like an injunction against them. They were like, well, you can't do that because it's going to expose everybody else is using this stuff. And there were some court cases, and when they ran the story, the news channel shut them down. And I think they had some whistleblowers. This is probably at least 20 years ago when you might hear something about a whistleblower. I don't think we hear that anymore.
That was Fox News, wasn't it? Fox News in Florida. In Florida.
And that was
Yeah, and the court said the news doesn't, the final hearing, because they fired the guy who wanted to air the story, and there was a female newscaster also. They fired both of them.
because they refused, something like they've refused to, oh, they whistle blew. That's why they fired him, I think. But the court said, no, they can fire you, and the news doesn't have to tell the truth. It's entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable. There's a statement right there that you've got that you should be able to tell people. What you're watching on TV is entertainment. They don't give you facts. They don't need to. Legally, they don't need to.
Yeah, News Corp, I'm looking up the mission statement right now, but if I can find the old one, they've changed it. But for a long time, it said something like creating news and creating and distributing news content for something. And it's like right there, right in your face. And they don't even really try to hide it.
They can create fake news.
Creating and distributing top quality news, sports, and entertainment around the world. What do you mean creating and distributing top quality news? You're creating news.
Did you ever listen? There was a guy, supposedly like an insider what's the name of the big news? So basically all our news from all different areas all comes from basically one central base. And there was a guy on Crow about 3 years ago who was an insider who worked for the news things. He said nearly every story comes from a very, very, very small central base. It's not Reuters, but it's bigger than Reuters, yet you don't know about it.
Have you looked into the history of Reuters? The guy?
Yeah, that was a Rothschild company, I believe, at the beginning.
Right. They say they've sold it off, but no, if you go back into the 1800s, like this guy had this, some kind of deal where he owned all the output, the GDP of Persia for a while. It was a really strange thing. It was, he got into banking or something. At least that's what it says in Wikipedia, but it's just some kind of bizarre thing how he made some arrangement with a prince or some Persian aristocrat, royal, whatever, to have a piece of the action of everything in Persia. He was this British guy, which is bizarre. How does that even work? How can you somebody to agree to turn over a percentage of the entire output of your country for what? It wasn't clear what he had to offer in return for that. That's a very shady connection, at the very least.
Yeah, well, all our news is definitely all coming from a single source. And this guy actually named the name of the company. It wasn't Reuters, though. I can't remember the name. He was a Crow chat probably 3 years ago. I'll see if I can find it later, and I'll put it on the live stream show notes. Well worth listening to.
Well, I read Hearst's book on William Randolph Hearst. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And in his book, of course, there's a lot of interesting things in there, but the main thing that is pertaining to this conversation is that when he did he was in charge of his newspapers, and remember he was the yellow journalism guy, which basically meant it was fake news.
Yeah. Show me the photos, I'll give you the news story. That's what he said. You supply the photos, I'll supply the story.
Right.
He said, I'll provide the war, I think was the
Spanish-American
war.
There was a lot of quotes he had, but basically there's a lot of things I could tell you about this guy. But anyway, the one thing was that tells you the whole thing is that because the newspaper was being put out in New York, but he was here in California at his ranch in San Simeon. And he would be on call, so when the newspaper went out at 2 o'clock in the morning, our time here, he told his people, I have to approve every single story that goes out. So he was on call at 2 o'clock in the morning before it got printed to make sure that he approved everything that went out. So he had complete control over every single story that went out, to the point where his wife, who was in New York, and she was kind of the social in the social set, you know, she was doing lots of fundraisers and, you know, whatever, all those.
Was it his wife that they based, or he was having an affair with Marion, the famous actress?
Right. It was, no, not her, but his wife, his actual wife who was.
Actual wife. Okay.
Yes, his actual wife who was like, but, you know, she was in New York and he was here in with, you know, whoever, the actress and what have you. Whoever.
Rosebud.
He was messing with whoever, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so like she put in one, there was a story where they said that one day she decided she wanted to put a story in about the social party that just happened over the weekend, you know, the usual stuff that women of that stature, you know, their gossip column, whatever.
Where she was wearing her zebra and diamond encrusted tiara.
Whatever. I don't really even remember what the story was per se exactly, but she decided to call the newspaper and say, look, I want this story in, you know, this week's column, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just a fluff piece, basically, just like I said, about the social. Anyway, the thing was that he, like, blew his top. He fired the guy who put the story in. He said, nothing gets on that paper unless I say so.
Yep.
So he was fully and completely in charge of what went out on the newspaper.
Yeah.
That,
well, you've seen what he did. What he did to Orson Welles after Orson Welles did Citizen Kane. He destroyed his career. And he said, no one is to pup. And his power back then was, he said, any area putting that movie on in their cinemas, you're not going to get any news stories. You know, he absolutely went berserk
power,
at that movie. Big time.
Hollywood. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's very interesting, though, how, you know, all that stuff, like you said, it's not news. It's whatever they want to propagate.
Entertainment.
Yes.
Entertainment, and fake stories to terrify and control the populace.
Yeah, well, you just like you, I was, you were talking about that you were listening to A.A. Morris the other day. That was like, and the one story about him that just really sticks in my mind is the Black Dahlia story, that was fake. And I remember just hearing about that, and it was just so terrifying, and you know, it just
absolutely.
He's telling us that was fake.
Yeah, well, for sure. I think Jay Dyer and a few other guys have put out a fair bit of stuff about the Black Dahlia story. It was basically one of those horrific stories.
Yeah.
It was like I'll tell you what it was. It was the American Ripper. You know, the
Right. You know, it was huge because, you know, I lived in Southern California. It was huge down there. And you heard about it and you were just terrified.
A mutilated female. It was exactly as the English Ripper stories of the 1800s used to terrify the people. Terrify them. So it was like the Ripper that was basically, the Yorkshire Ripper was basically the, Cobades of the day. You know, they didn't want you to go out, so they keep you in home terrified of this phantom menace that was roaming the streets mutilating prostitutes and anyone. So yeah, it's all part of the terror campaign.
As a child I remember hearing that and just like, that was scary.
Yeah, well that's nuclear. Look, the nuclear bomb thing would have to be
right.
Being a kid of the growing up school in the 60s and 70s, the amount of nuke fear that was pushed into you as a child was just unbelievable. You know, that someone's got a key to a button and they can press this button and blow us all to pieces. And I remember thinking, well, if all these rich people own all this land, why would they blow something up that would stop you going onto that land for 20,000 years or whatever the scam story is about? And I just thought it was a lie then, you know, as a 8-year-old. Well, you know,
I have an incredible story. I know someone who survived Hiroshima.
Oh, really?
Well,
I believe
yes.
they I believe they firebombed Hiroshima, though. They didn't. They never used nuclear bombs there.
Well,
nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
Thank you, O'Fellas.
Right?
JLB.
Look, my brother yesterday sent me photos upon photos of a New Zealand warship that a friend of mine's father was on, uncle was on, rather, that they had to witness the testing of the Bikini Atoll bombs, and they were staring at this explosion. He goes, it's real, it's real. And I said, they just watched dynamite with some phosphorus in it going bang. You know, it was just, and then the kids hear these stories and get past it. I don't believe in nuclear bombs at all.
No, at all. No.
Yeah.
No.
You're on
it. I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave George. Cody from Memphis.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Hey,
well,
is that
I
you?
Think that
Farce Valley.
This is, yeah, could have been, because this has got, this chat here has got some of the greatest minds in psychologist history all online at the same time.
Sweet.
So, yeah. And, you know, the best thing, mainly female, which is fantastic. Well, is it balanced, actually? One, two,
no,
three.
Now
four.
It is. The males are here.
Well, you know, for a long
I identify
time,
as a Comanche attack helicopter.
Yeah, the whole mechanics of nukes is interesting. If you just look at the wiki explanation, it's slamming two pieces of metal together, and then it levels a city.
Exactly.
So if you can slam two pieces of plutonium together hard
together,
enough, and people will say, well, no, there's this critical mass of fissionable material that one atom creates this chain reaction. I'm like, no, you're slamming two pieces of metal together. That's what's happening.
At the end of the day, that's
you're going to dress it up with science, but just think about that for a minute. Is that really going to work?
Yeah,
right.
Chris Kendall.
That's what CERN does.
At the end of the day, no, but doesn't CERN cause the Mandela effect as well, and changes the name of cornflakes from a C to a K?
Does that make it less communistic or more communistic?
I don't know, but ridiculous. I say yes, but who knows? Right.
And it's the same thing with the satellites. A. Morris, I think, did the best breakdown of that before.
Don't you reckon?
Personal breakdown.
I agree. Don't you reckon? But,
yeah,
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Satellites, the science describes something that falls in a circle. It's like,
yeah.
And I've had this argument with people, and they're like, no, you don't understand. There's physics. And no, it's read it. Read the definition. It's falling
read
in a circle.
The definition.
That's what's happening.
Exactly.
And it's, people have a hard time coming to grips with that because it's a level of cognitive dissonance that there's all these equations that dress this idea up. But no, that's what's happening. It's an object that's fallen in a circle. So just
simplification. It's affected by gravity and falling while also having a horizontal velocity that results in a circle. They present things in a simplified way that makes it very easy to find it absurd, but
very sus.
It
yeah,
is absurd.
I get that. But anytime I try and pursue this issue with anybody, like they inevitably just don't understand the math involved, and I guess nobody likes that. But
what does Frank say? What does Frank say? Was it you and him having the long discussion?
Oh, we've been going for weeks, but at this point he's just blocked.
It's going to keep going. Let me tell you now, you won't win.
I won't, because he doesn't. There's no interest in a dialogue. He states things, and if I give my perspective of the misunderstanding, he doesn't try and go to another level of finding my misunderstanding or bringing his misunderstanding to my explanation. It just repeats what he says, and it's completely unproductive.
Unfortunately, I can't argue science. I let the expert. I know I say the expert is Sean SMJ. I think he's probably the king.
Oh, Alice, are you one of those people that said the opinion that there's all kind of stuff falling in a circle around the Earth?
I'm okay with orbit mechanics. Yes,
you should listen to AA Morrison and listen to what he said, because I reckon he really nailed that.
So you don't have a problem with the acceleration versus linear motion conundrum? That's worked out in your mind.
I don't see a conundrum. I see people trying to apply a linear equation to a nonlinear situation and not understanding how it fails. That's why we have equations for circular motion.
Well, can I just get to something more simple?
Go ahead, my dear.
How about the fact that we don't have a picture of a satellite from the ground looking up?
Exactly.
You know how we supposedly have these pictures of satellites.
We don't got a lot of pictures of anything.
Well, they supposedly can take pictures really close up and get your license plate and get your yard and look at all these things, of course, in nice
and
square
so you,
houses. But
there's a guy that rang IPS the other day. Sorry to interrupt, but he's a pilot. A trainer pilot called, I can't remember his name, but he said that he had a friend, he's got a friend he was speaking to because he's a pilot, he trains pilots, who flies the highest flying jet that you've got on the planet today. And he was talking to him, he said while he's up there, he has to dodge weather balloons. He said he's never seen so many weather balloons up at, I think it was 70,000 feet that he's talking about. So basically, your satellites are basically weather balloons, as far as I'm concerned, and that's as low as the low orbit that we've got. Cameras on balloons, that's what I would think, and I agree. And the guy actually is a pilot who trains pilots, and you can actually go and look at his site. He's got a terrible
Can you take pictures pattern. Of those weather balloons from the surface of the Earth?
Yeah, it's like they can take these wonderfully high def kind of pictures nowadays.
I haven't tried. But the weather
because I can give a simple argument for why you can take pictures of the Earth's surface but not of things in the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, it's an opposite, isn't it? So,
and you know, you can take the camera off of those satellites and point it up, and you should get the same
image.
The same kind of image, you know,
where
or the same
quality
of the stars. You mean?
Yeah,
why can't
satellites
have cameras?
I've been watching stars since 1969 when I got interested in UFOs and being a, you know, star fanatic. And my best friend was an astronomer, and I've spent countless hours lying under the stars. And there are things flying above, going at high speed, with glowing all the time, which I've always called satellites. So I don't know. I mean, but could they be something else?
Well, satellites don't have running lights, so it can't be a satellite.
Exactly. Well, okay, so there's these glowing objects.
Yeah, but they can reflect light. They don't have to produce a light to reflect much like
the Earth. No, they can't, because the Earth's umbra extends like 800,000 miles. So if you're looking at night, you're not going to see a reflection. It's impossible.
Well, that's the argument against being able to take pictures.
Yeah.
Sometimes the argument is just so simple, you know, and people, they get that look in their face that their eyes are all glazed over, and they think, well, somebody would have said something on TV, you know, because it's like if you say something, that doesn't count.
Yeah, but I don't watch TV. I'm still in opposition.
Well, those are the people we talk to, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not worth arguing with those people.
The general population, they'd say, well, that can't be true because somebody would have said something. And it doesn't count because you're saying something.
Right. People are saying something all the time. There's all kind of people saying something.
But
they're just not the authority figures that they accept as
not on the news.
Right.
Notified.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people saying. There's thousands.
Yes.
But
probably more than there should be.
All the wrong people are saying something.
Right. You have these trust, and this is another conundrum. It's like these people that run this perception management program are uber elites, billionaires, trillionaires. But most of the time, your average democratic socialist of today would probably not have a lot of support for billionaires and trillionaires, except for being in a lockstep with everything the billionaires and trillionaires want them to do, which is another odd sort of paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good place to start, like where we talked earlier about whoever said that everything that comes across the news is golden. You know, I mean, it's like we started off with soap operas and, you know, vaudeville, whatever, in the 20s when television started. And then, you know, everything is fake or produced, except for, like, you know, when the supposedly the news comes on, all of a sudden that's truth. And, you know, we can hang our hat on that.
But they'll agree that they don't always tell the truth on the news. But then when you ask them which part, they can't think of which part would be false, right?
Very convenient.
It's like the government lies to them, but when you point out a lie, they would never lie about that.
Right.
So yeah, they have it all locked down.
But that's what I'm saying is where did we get that? Unless that was something they dropped in our head as children, like, I guess.
Because they have this fake paradigm where they have investigative reporters that would have broken the story and...
Oh yeah, Snopes debunked it. Don't worry.
No, okay.
Snopes is like 10 seconds ago. I mean, I'm talking, you know, because I can remember being in school and it was part of our class, whatever, where we had to go to the newspaper and get, read things in the newspaper, get articles and comment on them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like it was, you know, that's real news, but I don't ever remember them saying go to watch television and get a story. Or maybe it's just, you know.
Did they teach you to do actual research?
No, you just went to the newspaper.
And I ended up here. Like I thought researching was something real, and that's what we do, and. How that happened, I ended up here. So,
and then everybody here told you that researching is pointless. Everything's fake.
Yeah.
No.
I get that
a lot.
I found
my way here.
Oh, you just think everything's fake. And
pretty much.
And I always, that's the thing that people have a lot of trouble understanding, too, is like when the news presents a story, they're making a claim. They're presenting me with their, it's unsolicited. I didn't go ask for this information. They're just presenting it to me and saying, we're saying this happened. I'm like, okay, well, why are you saying that? Yeah, well, that's a good thing, too. Why? Why are you telling me this? But, okay, you've told me this. It's pretty extraordinary. So what are you providing as evidence? I don't have to accept it.
Never, ever get evidence.
I don't have to accept it automatically.
And it's always like 2 minutes. It's not even like in depth at all. It's like you said, it's like a couple of claims, maybe a video of some sort, and that's it.
That about 9 out of 10 times is going to include actors who you can find their promo reels or IMDb entries or military personnel on just about every single time. It's like at some point this should defy probability, right? Statistical probability that in every single instance, if, you know, 30 survivors of an incident, 28 of them are actors, like how's that going to work demographically? Like how many actors are there in the general population?
It depends what state you're in.
Yeah, say California. Say in the city
really
of Hollywood itself.
Statistics.
Just let's say Beverly Hills even. I mean, you know, it's probably still a smaller percentage of those witnesses you're going to find in a PSYOP.
Well, I remember when I was in high school and there was, you know, something that happened. I don't go into all the details, but, you know, there was an incident that happened and then you go read about it in the newspaper and it was all not true. I mean, it was different. Most of it was, you know, the story, but there was important points that were not true, and you knew it wasn't true, and it made me wonder, how can these people print this stuff in the newspaper that's not true and bending the story in a different direction as to if the truth was told, it, you know, it would be pointed differently.
I mean, like the Koch postulates for the COVID virus?
Right. Bingo. So, yeah. So
they make a statement on the front cover, and nobody ever reads beyond that.
Yes,
but when you go through it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, and this was just, you know, local newspaper, you know, wasn't big, you know, LA Times or anything like that. It was just the normal little, the local city rag. So who's in charge of that? You know, why would they, you would think because they supposedly are in the community and they know all the players, they know the, you know, sometimes they get the names wrong, you know, I mean, it's like, how did they justify that as real news?
We as humans, Purple, think that somebody is doing the fact checking and somebody would have said something. And the reality is we in this corner know that nobody ever checks anything.
Right.
The entire fallacy is that people trust that the powers that be have their best interests at heart. And the idea that anything is a lie would then imply that the powers that be do not have their best interests at heart. And that is the most world-flipping thing to come to terms with. And until people acknowledge that, they won't ever question it. Because if they question it, then it means their whole world is based on a lie, et cetera.
Just an analysis of the idea of government itself. It's like, okay, we're going to sign a contract, but the terms won't be bilateral. I'm going to enforce the terms, and I can change them at will. And say you're buying a car, and you're going to pay me $350. Well, I can increase the amount that you're paying me at any time at will. And if you have any problems with that, maybe you can find some mediation, but I will provide the mediators. They'll be paid by me. And if you don't like the terms, in 4 years from now, we'll be choosing a board of directors, and you and another 750,000 people can choose one out of 400 of our board of directors and for redress. But, and by the way, if you don't pay, we'll kill you. That's government. Like, who would sign a contract like that? Nobody. It's insane. It's literally insane. But that's what we have.
And you know, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a piece of it. But I was thinking about this the other day, and I think a lot of it hinges on peer pressure. Because, you know, you're hanging with your friends. I mean, you just go back to junior high and you think about, you know, you're hanging out and everybody's doing whatever, and then suddenly there's a little part in the clique, whatever, and one person calls somebody else, you know, whatever. It could be a lie, you know, mostly it is, and then all of a sudden people start taking sides, and whose side do you take? You know, the people that you want to stay friends with, right? I mean, it's kind of like that, you know, you just go hang to the side that even though you know, maybe, well, it's not true, but.
That's why polls work so well on television, because they basically tell you if 70% of these people feel this way, most people will go against their own feelings and join them, because we're herd. We don't want to be away from the herd. So, you know.
Exactly.
I understand that's almost like a biological imperative subconsciously
to be in the
herd, because it's too dangerous to be by yourself.
Right. But that's the reason we are how we are. I think we are the people who are not peer pressured. We don't care about, at least I don't. I think that's what separates us, because, you know, we sit here and we all think, why does somebody else, you know, side with, you know, the party line, which mostly they probably know deep down that it's not true, it's not right, but they side with it because they're afraid of what, you know, their friends are going to think, right? And we've all been there. A lot of us are here because I think we could give a crap. We're not as easily peer pressured. That's
I think we're more tied to what we feel is the truth.
Right.
Then we need to be authentic. I think that's the key in humanity, is that we need to be authentic, and some people can't deal with that.
Wear a mask if you want to, or you could leave the mask behind. You really don't need to cover your face with a diaper all the freaking time.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You can act like your mask will save the whole world, leaving common sense behind.
How apropos.
I'm wondering, too, at this stage, if they're not almost purposely making the, I don't know, this thing we call news, the things they're putting out as facts, more transparently fake to force people into a decision to double down on accepting ideas they fundamentally know can't be true, but they have
to. Absolutely.
You think they're actually ramping that up?
Yeah, they're forcing a divide. They're putting us in a corner separate from everybody else and pushing the narrative that if you don't believe what everybody else believes, you're now a threat. And they've been doing that for months now, and they're going to keep doing it.
What I'm saying is that for the normies, say, the people that respond to this, it's like they're almost making it where it's easy for them to spot the inconsistencies, and it forces them into this sort of, you know, this gaslighting thing where they're going to accept these things that they know to be untrue, but they just feel like they're pressured into it.
Yeah, because once you're contradicting yourself with doublethink, you're doubling down on your beliefs and you're adding a fear of being wrong, and you're removing all responsibility from yourself and just putting it on the source of where you've gotten to.
It's almost like, have you heard about that experiment where they put, you know, a test subject in a room with a bunch of actors, and then they'll draw a series of lines on a board and ask which mm-hmm. one's longer or something.
Yeah.
And everyone says that the shorter one is the longer one or something, and, you know, the person changes their mind to go along, even though they know, they can see
right.
with their own eyes that it's wrong.
It's exhausting. People get to the point, this is like a totalitarianism method that they use. And it's like, go this way, then go that way, then go this way, then go that way. And then pretty soon people just want to go along to get along. It gets exhausting, right? So
right.
I think that's what their goal is to exhaust people
right.
with
yeah.
all of this.
But yeah, I mean, it takes a certain amount of strength to go against, like I said, the peer pressure. If you recall, I don't know about you, but when I was in junior high, I did not fall into that nonsense, but everybody did. I mean, I may have to a certain extent, but for the most part, I never did. And I, you know, to this day, I don't. There's got to be something, you know, in that. I don't know if that's a strength or what, but that I think is what separates us. It's the peer pressure.
We're all retarded.
No. I think it's a strength. I like to look at it as a strength that we're whole in ourselves, and we have some sort of, you know, resilience to like not give a crap, you know. It's like, fine, you're gonna do that, then I'll go this way. I think we talked about this the other day, Vadir, where, you know, I said there's like a lot of people that I didn't want to be friends with because you can feel their character. I used to wait a few, you know, I didn't take friends easily, so you would wait to see what played out, because in this particular paradigm, our world, words, people can speak a lot of words, they can say all the right things, but when it comes down to actions, at least in my world, actions speak louder than words. Would you agree with that, anybody?
Yeah, I often wonder.
That's always the case.
You know, but I think a lot of people are waking up to this too, because they are losing their income, and I think that's like a huge spiritual awakening right there. You either, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people are maybe joining us in our corner, because And you know, that's where I think that these people who control everything, I think they're like seriously overreaching. They do stand the risk of waking up too many people. Because I think you only really need 10% of the population to create a movement, right? Where people are, and you know, there's a lot of people I move around and I see people and they're like thinking this is just such a fraud on humanity. So
right.
We only see those people with the masks from afar when we go to the store, but you know, there's a lot of people that know this is a fraud. So I don't know
if they're
much in control.
Well, the whole thing about, what you just said about, because, you know, if you go to the store, there's a lot less people than there used to be. So a lot of the people are just staying away because either they're just freaking scared because they don't want to leave their house, or they're just like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to walk into the store with a mask because I don't want to do that, which, you know, we don't see that. We don't have the numbers on that.
And they're making it really easy to just have your groceries delivered or pick them up. So
Right.
They really don't want us to talk to each other. They don't want us to see each other's facial expressions. They want us to feel totally alone and accept this. And I think it's going to backfire on them. I really think. But then part of me thinks too, like you were saying earlier, that I think maybe they're trying to sell us that. Like maybe we're all going to backfire and then they're going to sell us a new paradigm that we chose ourselves that we think of. I don't know. Then I see all these people lined up like cattle for this toxic chemical they're putting into their body that, it only hurts a little bit.
Right.
I hear the second one's like really bad. Why would you do that? It's like you look at every label in the grocery store and then you go and put something in your body that you have no clue what it is.
Well, that's
because they say it's okay.
Trust. That's the trust, you know.
Oh, my God.
And the fact that, okay.
It's not trust, it's fear of having to not trust.
Well,
right.
And hoping that it's going to take it, that everything's going to go away. As soon as we get the vaccine, we can all go back to normal again. A lot of people think that.
And you know what? This is just starting it. If they just knew that putting that vaccine in them is telling the government, okay, you can keep putting your stuff in me and then I'll be okay. And then you'll eventually own me. And then I'll just be.
Oh, that's a conspiracy theory.
I'm sure. Like Monsanto or whatever. I'll be part of Monsanto after that. Cause it's like now they have all of their technology in me. So, hey, you know, they own me.
That's the thing. People don't understand about computers and how all that, I mean, they do because we've all got Windows and we've all got iPhones or whatever that they need to upgrade every 10 minutes. And, all you have to do is somehow get them to think in those terms that's going to be in your body. But, you know, we can see it because we're familiar with computers and we've been through
that. They don't understand that whole thing that Norton was probably created by Bill Gates because that creates more business.
Yes.
So it's like this is, and you know, they're just going to keep updating our, you know, the new virus will come out. Oh, get an update. And then you'll have that. You'll be version whatever technology.
Right.
And you don't know why the world looks so gray and you don't feel good anymore. And it's like, you want to jump off the cliff. And, oh, look, all my friends are jumping off the cliff. I don't know. To me, it just seems like, you know what? Let them go after the people that are lining up because I truly think that this is a test and all you have to do is say no. You know, they do not have a right. I think when you start saying yes, then they own you.
It's an offer. Everything's an offer. Anything Crow has taught me, everything's an offer.
Which is really making me wonder why they have all these cookie things on here to accept all the cookies on everything. Like I'm starting to think of like the vaccine too, right?
Yeah, and all the agreements. Like, do you agree? Like, you're going to read through all that crap and totally take it in and understand
it. It didn't matter before. But now, it's like, it matters. Because it's like, they're starting to, this is just too much as far as they're overreaching. I think,
getting bad.
They give you that impression that they can find you anywhere. I don't think, you know, it'd be too much work for them. Like, maybe in 10 years.
Well,
all those people that are living in their, I don't know, their trailers underground or whatever it is that they're doing, it's like, these people, there's only a few of them, right? They have to make us turn on each other in order to do this. I think eventually people will wake up.
I would certainly hope so. Well, you said, when you're on the ground and, there's no place to go. Yeah, definitely. That's when people, like you said, you gotta, get them out of their comfort zone and figure out, hey, you gotta do something. You're on fire, so to speak.
Yeah. I think we lost our friends here, so.
Lost what?
I think we scared the guys off.
Oh, no. We still got we've got Ophelus. Say hello,
and
Ophelus.
John Long sleeping in the corner there.
I refuse to do what I'm told.
I'm asking nicely.
It's that picture of Pat. I always think of you as a woman. I don't know what it is.
No, I'm not a woman. I just associate with strong female detectives.
Okay. Well, you're in a room full of them.
Yep.
That's lovely.
Yes, we enjoy your input for sure. Hey, Ham, where'd you go? She's
not far off. She definitely did not nod off.
Well, and John the Bond, I don't know what the little headphones with the line through it means.
That means he's not listening. He probably has his head on his desk again.
Yeah, JLB's insecure about his alcoholism. He's just embrace it like a man. It's 2021. Alcohol or bust.
We're so drinking. Glad you're here with us.
Day drinking is the norm. Come on.
Yeah, what's up with that?
All the weed gives you schizophrenia now. So, like, all you got left is some natural alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize the weed was...
Does it do that to you?
Well, I'm in Oregon, and it's, like, mass-grown, and it's GM... It's, I don't know if GMO is the right word, but it's bred to be maximum THC and no CBD. So it's, like, lost its natural balance, which I think is really important. Like, in non-legal states where people home-grow it, it's a reasonable balance of, like, 10% CBD and 10%... THC, and you know, THC is super psychoactive and CBD is super sedating for your mind. And when you remove the CBD, it feels like I'm just giving myself schizophrenia and I don't like it.
Wow. And then stuff works on me, so
I've cut back dramatically.
So they're able to engineer that, huh? And not what is it like naturally?
I mean, naturally, it's like 3% THC and 3% CBD, but now they're breeding it at like 20% THC and no CBD, or 20% CBD and no THC, and they've lost all respect for nature's balance.
Wow.
Well, and that's not GMO?
It's like the guy in the
I wouldn't say it's genetically modified, just hereditary chosen breeding.
Hybridization.
Yeah.
Wow.
There could be GMOing. I haven't looked into it too much because it feels pretty straightforward.
Did you ever watch that show Weeds?
Weeds, yeah, about the mother selling weed.
Yeah.
It was. I really liked the intros.
Well, but at the end, remember the son who went into the laboratory and he was creating all these
I stopped watching it once she started dating the president of Mexico because it turned into a soap opera.
Right.
Well, at the end, you know, they basically were coming after her. I mean, it was like, you know, she was going to get dead. I can't really remember everything, but I do remember that the son got a job in a large pharmaceutical company creating strains, you know, probably like what you're talking about, proprietary strains that they were going to make lots of money on.
Cool names, like Sour Diesel Kush Machine. Instead of patent 666, Bill Gates could learn something from the weed manufacturers.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, like I said, it was very interesting in that regard because, and then, you know, what we have now that it's all, you know, legislated and mainstream now. So, and the big pharma's got their mitts on it. So that tells you a lot, I think.
Yeah. Oregon produces more weed than they can sell in their state, and sales are constantly going up. It's kind of fascinating.
It's definitely
California is getting like that too. Northern California, isn't it? Like, or actually Nevada. I think Reno, around that area.
Well, it used to be where Mendocino. There was a lot of growth there, or you know, people were growing it there. Those were the, you know, big operations. But that was when it was illegal. I don't know what's happening now. They got all cleaned out and
is it legal is heroin legal there now or something? I heard.
Oh, it is. All drugs are decriminalized in Portland now. You can have anything you want.
LSD, heroin?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
Wow. Meth? You? Meth?
Everything. There's no
ayahuasca?
Yeah,
probably not. Not that one.
I have a friend in Florida who grows ayahuasca and has like a religious compound where he gets to do ceremonies legally.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's been kind of sanctioned for a while, where as long as you were religious. I used to listen to this guy a long time ago. What was that guy's? Mike Hagen. I think he was out of Colorado. You probably don't remember. You're probably too young. But, he used to talk about mushrooms and ayahuasca, of course, and what's his name? What's that guy's name? I can't think of his name. Who is the godfather of psychedelics? Terrence McKenna. There you go. You got it. That was like in the early 2000s, so
I learned to grow mushrooms probably 15 years ago from a guy who was also in Colorado. He just had like shipping containers buried in the hills where he grew massive amounts.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. Well, maybe that's where he got his from. But like I said, this guy, he was trying to do podcasts where he would take mushrooms or psychedelics or whatever and try to like tell you what he was feeling while he was going through it. But, you know, it didn't work very well. Because, you know, once you take it, it's like...
You're completely disinterested in the tech.
It didn't work, yeah. But I found it fascinating. Even though I've never, ever taken any of that kind of stuff in my life.
Have you ever seen the Drinking Out of Cups YouTube video?
No.
Supposedly a guy did acid and his friends put him in a closet and recorded like 15 minutes of him talking to himself, and it's hilarious. They put it to a video with animations, and it's a gecko talking, saying all the things he's saying. Like, not my chair, not my problem. That's what I'm going to
interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I've laughed for hours over this video.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
What message?
There's no message.
Here's
a message.
We just interrupted you. That's the message. Oh, funny. Anyway, so yeah, so this guy, did he say anything intelligent in his presentation? Hope, Alice.
Well, No, it's just absolutely hilarious. I just drink
the
it in the live stream notes. It's two and a half minutes. Can I play it? I don't remember how to play it.
Yeah,
please.
You know how to do it. There's instructions. Bella set left instructions.
Bot commands. Play. Comma, comma, play. Okay, I got this. I can computer.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian? What is he, a goddamn asshole? What the fuck is he doing? Not ever. No way. Now he's Johnny Hammersticks. Hammering away like he's freaking Tommy Noble. What the hell's he doing? Thinks he's got it going, bossing over. No way. No way. What is this garbage? What is this? Oh, I'm king of the trees. I'm the tree meister. I count on them. When sometimes I pry, I like to steal. Yeah, right. This guy's a faggot. This guy's some sort of faggot Indian in the teepee. Ooh, this guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots. When everyone needs some knots tied, they go to him. Bullshit. This woman's such a bitch. Thinks she's Miss Sand. Drinking out of cups. Being a bitch. I bet her fist. I bet her fatalisk. Barned. Patterskum patter. Little kid in the background fucking going crazy. Who's this guy? Mr. Balloons. Mr. Balloon Hands. No way. Get real. Like those things. Mr. Walkway. Mr. Walk Down Me, I'm the walkway. Lead me to the building. Fuck you. 5643. Yeah, right. You're some stupid bitch. Who paid for that floor? Not me. No way. Never paid for no floor ever again. Not once, not never. Nope. Whose chair is that? Who bought that goddamn chair? That's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what I say. No way. Stupid dresses. Stupid flowers. Lighthouses rule. You don't like the lighthouse? You suck. What is this, seahorse captain? What is this, seahorse seashell party? Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited, seahorse seahell? What is this? Get real. I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're fucking unreal. I love them. They're like all the clocks. I love them. I love seahorses, and I love looking at them, and I love seashells. I love seashell things. I love things with seashells and seahorses on them, like blankets and towels and little bags. I love them. Seahorses forever.
Me too.
You know, we have those people on the street corners in downtown L.A.
The well, video is a perfect accompaniment if you ever want to watch it again.
At least that didn't sound like a bad drip at all.
No, he's a guy sitting in a dark room just hallucinating things. This is great. So good. And it's funny, a lot of those things people on street corners have been saying the past couple of decades are coming to fruition.
That's true. They're not so...
A lot of people here probably have been pretty close to that point after coming down this road of truth. Yeah. It's really hard to continue participating in the system.
I look at all those preppers and I think, you know, they don't look so crazy after all, do they?
Exactly. Well, you know, I have to say, I have a friend who... whose father was an ex policeman, and he's a huge prepper. So you got to know, where's he getting his information from?
Yeah.
And he started like back in March.
Well, it's been deducible from like the Rockefeller documents, the WHO plans from at least 92. You can infer it sooner than that. I have a favorite. I forgot his name.
So when's the stock market supposed to crash then? Where's that in all of this?
It'll be sometime this year while they roll in the new currency.
Who has the crystal ball? How do we know when they're going to do any of this? It's kind of shocking that what we've got going on so far. Oh, there's Mr. Esoteric is back. He's got lots of predictions. We're talking about predictions.
Where do you start and where do you finish? I just went into a bottle shop. What do you call in America where you go and buy alcohol?
A liquor store.
Okay. I went into a liquor store. And
we're America. We use the actual word to describe things instead of cute.
It's funny that. Yeah, we're a bit weird over here.
They're so literal.
I could have just been going to buy a bottle. I'm just going to buy a bottle. Nothing in it, just a bottle.
Buy empty bottles. Empty bottles are more expensive than bottles with stuff in them.
That's the logic of the future. Anyway. And on the screen, there's this new screen on the front of the counter. It had ID 25 on it. And I said to the guy, I said, what's that about? And he goes, oh, we've had them here for ages because they originally were used to scan driver's licenses for the under 18s because you have to be 18 the age for buying alcohol here. But he said now they've upped it to 25. They've got to ask anyone that looks under 25 for their ID. And I said, what? Are you serious? And he goes, yeah, that's the new law. And he goes, and if we don't ask them, we can lose our jobs.
Yes. Hey, I go
I
get asked at the grocery store every time I buy a bottle of wine. And I'm clearly over 25.
Yeah, well, females will be kind of complimented and go, oh, why, thank you, sir. For me, it'd be like, what kind of weirdo are you? You want to know my age? You clearly know that I'm older. But anyway, he said, and I said to him, well, you do realize that this is going to move up, that they're going to, this is, the same screen's going to be used for vaccination certificates. And he goes, yes. He goes, he said, it's upping the ante for the staff to start asking more questions about their patrons now. And it's so clearly, obviously, and on the front page of the paper, while I was standing in the queue, what's on the front page of the paper? Phones to be used for vaccine certificates on the front page of our Sunday newspapers, which basically carry the actual stories of what's coming, more the sensational stuff. Sunday newspapers here actually have a fair bit of actual predictive news on the front page usually. So yeah, it's all happening.
I need two documents. They've been telling us they're going to do it all last year. I just put a link in the live stream notes to Webster Tarley, the guy I was thinking of. Webster Tarley, brilliant man.
Fantastic.
That hour listening to him is just like, holy hell.
Yeah, that was Jay Dye does a fantastic Webster Tarpley impersonation. He nailed it when he did his Webster Tarpley. Webster Tarpley used to flog gold, didn't he, and silver, precious minerals, I think, at one stage.
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
good stuff, great stuff.
Like, there's been plenty of people telling us. Non-stop for decades.
Yep. And so, I mean, I've been going on about this shit since 1980 when I read, I was made to read Carol Quigley's, Carol Quigley's, Tragedy and Hope and the Anglo-American Alliance. Way too big a book for a 18-year-old or how old was it? 16-year-old Yeah, well, that was at our school library when I was 15. I remember seeing that in the senior section of the school library back in the day. I bet you it's not there anymore, though, let me tell you.
Probably stole it.
Stole it? Yeah, probably. I've never read it.
You can't even get into the library anymore. It's like they...
I know. That used to be my favourite thing to do, is just meander into a library and fuck around looking at old newspapers on... just go through books and without having to buy them. Because I'm a bibliophile. Like, I'm a book collector. And I'd rather not be faced with having to buy it. I could just read it and then,
hundreds of pounds of books.
Okay, so there's another telltale sign of us. Remember, we were talking about we're not peer pressured. Normal. And we're also, like, hangers around in the library.
Yeah, I love libraries. And in New Zealand, when I lived over there, what they did in New Zealand, because it's such a small country, and they kind of introduced 7 day a week libraries that were open till, you know, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And there were so many people doing courses and research and stuff, but you could just go to the library, and libraries became a bigger, not just book lending, they had courses and all sorts of things you could do in them, which I think was fantastic if you're into history and stuff, which I am, local history, and going through old newspapers. So I say this to anyone, if you want interest, go through newspapers from 1940s and 50s and 60s and read the stories and see the difference in news reporting.
But they're gone.
They are gone, yeah. That's, yeah, but you can
look
find...
at the old Life magazines, you know, like Time, Life, or Life, I forget what it's called.
Lots
from
of
the
predictive
60s
programs.
And the 50s. And just look at all the stories and the pictures. It's pretty cool. But they're not there anymore.
You've got to get them on record. Then they usually digitize them if you're lucky. If you're lucky, and
they do that microfilm stuff for you.
Microfilm.
They used to do microfilm. I think it's all online now, though. I mean, I remember going through those microfilm things, but you know, with COVID, I'm sure they got rid of those.
I remember reading something last year about New Zealand having to close some libraries, and they didn't have anywhere to send their massive archive of books. So for the next month, you can come help yourself to any of the books here, and if you don't take them, we're just going to end up throwing
them
away.
Yeah, that's what happened. The guy that got me into all this stuff, the neighbour across the road, who's like a old Scottish guy, well, he wasn't that old, but he's probably my age now, he used to go around the street trying to get people to wake up.
Early.
Oh, yeah,
like 40. They're just like, I'm fucking tired of all this.
Yeah. he got me into all this stuff by, I picked my interest when I read about certain things, and I'll always love the mysteries and conspiracy type stuff, but his wife and him, they end up splitting up because she couldn't stand anything he had to say, and he was always arguing with her, trying to convince her that, you know, China wasn't the model country, that China was a nasty country. She loved China. She was just one of those type of people. Both well-traveled. They traveled the world, so he knew the stuff. But he informed me, and I think it was about 1982, this organisation in the library started. It was called the People's Friends of the Library started, which sounded communist to start with. And they were people that would go in there and say, they'd pick books that they said weren't suitable and get rid of them. So they were going through and removing books like Carol Quigley's book, and that's what made him notice, that they removed that copy that he donated to them. And so this all started 40-odd years ago, where they really started cracking down on censorship of things by just gently,
subtly
changing.
Step
by step, they call it. That's the old Masonic term.
Most of those books nobody even knew were there, so it was pretty easy, I'm sure.
You wonder how long
it's going to be before they get rid of all of the freedom kind of stories, where, because they're changing everything to a communist sort of
Everybody needs
flavor.
To be making archives. Mm. Everybody needs hard drives backing up every valuable piece of literature they know.
But how do you know they haven't already pulled out all this good stuff out of the the digital stuff?
Because there's already people on the internet that have been archiving it for years, and you can find pretty much everything if you look for it. I think Dave J has a massive arsenal of old religious texts on archive.org. If you ask for it, he'll happily share it. He's got hundreds of old books there. That
same with what's the Canadian guy that I keep? What's his name? He's got an offer. If you go onto his website, I think it costs you $5 to $10 or whatever. You can download.
Aberrato?
What's that? No. The guy that Freeman Fly interviews, he's a survivalist martial arts type that lives. He's American.
Is that David Whitehead?
No. He's got an unusual. He's a great guy. He's a martial arts survivalist guy. And you can download thousands. He's got PDFs of all his books and survival magazines, government, just really interesting stuff that he's got. And he said, download it, take out the hard drive and bury it. He says, bury it. You know, like, they'll come after this kind of information in the future, which I
don't everybody care. Needs to be doing it. Like, it's invaluable information. It's really
first aid, health, just, you know, herb, books on herbs and natural medicine, I say are crucial.
You can download the entirety of Wikipedia for like 80 gigabytes.
Yeah,
Wikipedia is suspect, isn't it? Isn't Wikipedia?
It is now.
There's plenty of good information on Wikipedia for tons of topics. It's
especially natural health. I think you really got to keep that and herbs and spices. Just this
spagyrics.
Thing. Spagyrics, yeah. Oh, well, hey, there's a subject in itself. You know, fantastic.
You need to talk about that. I want to hear about that. I hear you know about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, spagyrics are it's high-end alchemy. It's the highest end of alchemy where you're actually taking. So basically, if you can compare a tincture of essential oil, a spagyric would be 1,000 times more powerful than the tincture, maybe more than 1,000 times. Mm.
Is it? And what's his name? John Adams. Do that.
He could have done. I never heard him speaking about spagyrics.
He used to talk about essential oils. Is that the same thing?
Oh, no. Yeah. His wife was, and he had, got into a business where they were selling essential oils online.
That's not spagyric. Is it not oil? What is that like more like?
No, it's like a crystal. Dry? It's a crystal. So what? Yeah. So it's alchemy. So you take the, you split it, so everything's got an oil, and a spirit to it. So, you know, alcohol is the spirit of whatever, say, potatoes. Vodka is the spirit of potatoes. Sour mash, the spirit will be bourbon, you know, of that thing. So you separate the oil and the spirit, and then you take the, remove the oil, or you remove the spirit. Then you combine it with a salt. Then you burn it until it's white, and then you crush it up and you keep burning it at a high temperature. And what you get is this pure. And then you add a single acid molecule or whatever to it, and it will form a crystal. And that crystal is the pure essence of that thing. So of the pure essence of a lavender, say whatever the flower that you're after. I can't actually remember the exact techniques, but that's roughly what I'm saying is how you. So spagyrics is like a 10,000 times more potent version of a herbal tea that you say you're making one with.
So it's just not a dilution because everything
is diluted. But you use heat and fire to gain the purity of it. So you're not just
so you reduce it to a more concentrated.
And then you eat it.
Then you would sprinkle that. You would sprinkle that the crystal onto your or take it. But basically, you've got to take really tiny amounts of it because the spagyric version of gold.
You're listening to another 20 minutes. Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
Hi, this is Errol C.
Naeem. Rick from Port Macquarie.
Eric.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I just heard my voice.
You're famous.
Yeah. So spagyrics is very complex. S-P-Y-G-E-R-I-C-S. Spagyric.
Okay.
Yeah. It's you're dealing here with the highest level of alchemy that you can be done. So there's a guy with a really amazing name that he calls himself. He's on Crow 777. He's probably one of the experts at it. He's a guy from California who has got no background in anything, no degrees in at university, but he was just into natural medicine. And then he found the old book by this old ancient Greek alchemist who goes, can't remember his name, but you know, we're dealing with old stuff here anyway. And then he researched it and he studied it, and he's now one of the leading persons, and he teaches the courses online. you can go online and learn spagyrics, which I highly recommend if you're into... I think Vidya seems to be into this kind of stuff, I believe, by the sound of it. Well, is she there or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally could get into that.
Yeah, you highly recommend you get into spagyrics.
Is the guy on the Crow Discord that you were talking about?
Yes, yes.
Do you know what his name is?
No, I don't know. He's on the. I'm not on the Discord with Crow, so but he's definitely on there. Felix Aurealis, I think he calls himself, or that's his name, something Aurealis, and I think it's Phoenix Aurealis.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well,
My memory does work. Phoenix Aurealis.
Phoenix Aurealis. Okay, yeah.
Go back, listen to his stuff, and then try and do his course, because basically it's pure. You'll literally be able to cure anything with that shit, I would say.
Very interesting.
Yeah, this is the best stuff.
Once you wake up to all of this, as far as the pharmaceuticals, and you see just how bad they are and how they're actually disease creators.
All you have to do is learn who took over the allopathic health system, Rockefellers, and their oil interests, and they removed
the same people that took over colleges before they even existed.
That's them. And then I was going to bring this up today, talking to someone, but I saw a photo of Sydney in 1880. It was a topographic photo of the main street in Sydney. And what you can make out is all the business names. And you know what the most common, every third business was? Homeopathy. Mm. And homeopathy and spagyrics go hand in hand. So you're distilling the essence of a thing and spinning it till you get the pure with water. That's homeopathy anyway. Spagyrics is a form of homeopathy using heat and fire. So you're creating the purity from fire.
What I just read about it really quickly is that they take plants that usually have vitamins that are oils soluble, they treat them so that they become water soluble, which makes them more bioavailable.
Very interesting. I've been into natural medicine since I was.
And it's very basic science. It's very easy to do.
It is. Yeah, go.
It's interesting that I'm really into genealogy as well, and a lot of people, like hundreds of years ago, lived to 100 years old.
My great grandfather was 100 and something.
Yeah, and it's like we're living longer lives. I don't know if that's really true.
I believe it absolutely. We have constantly saturated ourselves in toxins, and it's been intentional on behalf of the allopathic medicine industry. And then the treatments don't actually they make you sicker. The vaccination started in 1900 after Bechamp Pasteur. After Bechamp died, they just immediately started vaccinating people. And we just have chronic disease every decade.
Sorry, I'm a big man.
I was just going to say, did you see that it was a YouTube on Fauci, and it's called Fauci's first crime or something like that. And
that's when he stole the HIV research.
Oh, my goodness. It's like the medicine was the toxin.
Yeah, for HIV, absolutely.
They took these gay men that were, they were into the drug scene as, they would go out to the clubs and they would do these poppers. So they took, I think 6 or 10, I don't know how many drug addicts from that scene. And then they said, oh, they've got AIDS. So then they made this medicine and gave it to them. And of course it killed them and said, see, they have AIDS and they're dying.
Nobody dies of AIDS anymore.
They died from AZT toxin. And I worked for this
guy. The guy who worked under Fauci, the guy who got the Nobel Prize for curing AIDS, you can watch him on YouTube in like 2010.
Bragging, laughing about it.
Yeah, he's openly admitting that like AIDS isn't real. Right. It's just immunocompromisation. And
right. And depending on which country you live in, was whether you had AIDS or not because of the level of your immune system. And that's why people aren't dying as bad, or they aren't dying like they used to, is because they made this cocktail that's supposedly a lot less potent, that's not killing them, just making them sick. But
so they can pay more for allopathic treatment for a longer period of time. It's more profit.
Do you remember the movie? When you look at this whole scenario, it's like this was like a dress rehearsal for...
Right.
For the COVID
Jared
thing.
Jared Leto, what was that movie that he was
They've been doing it for 60 years previously. They've been doing it nonstop. They've been constantly poisoning at least the U.S. population, the African population, the Middle Eastern population, and so that they can be paid to treat them.
Right.
Yeah.
It has been their model since 1900.
If you want an easy way of learning all the stuff, go to Jay Dyer's site and his globalist book series, where he reads from Julian Salk, was one of the best ones, in his book Survival of the Wisest, where he openly says we're going to control the population of the future via vaccines, by poisoning people, basically. He says it in his book. It's in Survival of the Wisest. And Jay Dyer reads, and cause he's really good at reading, so I'm not, but I've got I can't sit there and read one big novel, a book from beginning to end. I just go through it and pick up information. He can sit there and read these books, and he narrates it and does it over the, you know, so he can listen to it, which is the best way for me to learn things. And just listen to his breakdown of Survival of the Wisest by Julian Salk, and you'll get all the information you need and what they're doing to people right now.
Eustace Mullins, Murder by Injection, he has kind of the same.
Yep.
He's got all the way back to the Rockefellers in that. And it's not that long of a book to read. That was a pretty short book. I remember that one was pretty straightforward and to the point.
Yeah. There's some great stuff.
Could you share a link in the live stream notes?
To that one? To the Eustace Mullins? I think it's in the... Oh, God. I got it from a BitTorrent a long time ago. I would have to go find it and post it. I got to go find it. I started saving books like back in the early 2000s. So I've got a lot of stuff on PDF.
Smart lady. I said smart lady.
Oh.
But I love when people talk about things here and I just like pull up my file explorer. I'm like, oh, I got that. And I just throw the PDF in the chat. Like, hey, here's the book.
I meant Jonas Salk.
Yeah, I was going to say that doesn't sound right for the first name, but Salk is the right name. I don't think I ever read that particular book, but I've heard about that.
You've got to read that. It's one of the best. Not best, but one of the most aware, awakening books you're going to read when you...
Well, that's why I brought up the Eustace Mullins ones, because it sounded almost exactly like that. I mean, he kind of went over a lot of that stuff, so that's why I was thinking about that. But I've never read the Eustace Mullins one. I mean, the Jonas Salk. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. It was called Fauci's First Fraud. I'll put that in the notes, too.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting, I didn't hear about Fauci in that, but there was a, what was that guy's name from Berkeley who brought out the whole
thing. Fauci got his promotion to director of health from the AIDS situation. He got his power from fraudulent behavior. And it's a perfect example of the health system. Like our whole world deflected to the power of the directors of health, and the directors of health were put in position 20 years ago, not by public election. And this is a really big thing. I try and tell anybody I talk to about this stuff in the real world. It's like we defaulted all authority to directors of health who are not publicly elected officials. They're put in position by Big Pharma, who has absolutely no interest in our well-being.
At all. At all.
Yeah, and we just gave them the authority to dictate our lives.
We
were
listening
to them.
Who gave them the authority? I mean, well, I should say.
We do by enabling our governments to do so.
But the governments
have turned it to their guidelines, and it's because they went and offered up all these guidelines to the government, and the government thought, all these local governments thought, hey, I'm going to look like I've got it all going on, and of course they spoon-fed it to them to make them think that they wrote it, and now it's like everybody's got the same guidelines, and you look at the tape on the ground in front of these stores, and you think, oh my God, this is all based on guidelines. It's not even law.
Right.
No, it's exactly. Yeah. So we are becoming our own jail keepers and poisoners by, not when I say we, I mean the public and the shop and the small shop owners. So I can go, I just walked into a big supermarket.
But it's not even the shop owners. It's the public. Like, a lot of the shop owners don't even want to do it.
They don't want to do it, but they've been threatened that if you don't do it.
The city does it too, because like, in our newspaper, they have, recently, they've hired some, because, you know, they're realizing, you know, this is really messed up and all the businesses are like flailing miserably and it's like a problem. But so what do? They go and hire this consultant. I don't know where she comes from or how they come to hire this person.
She's recommended.
To take the task of trying to figure out how to get all these businesses back on their feet and
after they stole everything.
You know, it's like open
so complicated.
Let them
it's
work.
So
hello. Right. Why do
I'm
you
just,
gotta
I'm
meeting?
I'm just sitting here watching. I've just got a bee flew down next to my feet and it's like crawling around like it's been poisoned. After we've had today nonstop spraying in our skies of the most highest magnitude. And there's a
they
do
that
dot.
Here. They do that here in California. It's just atrocious.
Yeah. Well, this bee has got no reason to be roaming around like a sprayed at the fly spray, and all of a sudden it's like it's landed by my feet. And I don't have any doubt that they will be doing something with this. They're trying to burn us out. I live in a bushfire area, and we had the most horrific bushfires last year that. You know, like the California ones,
and
I don't
doubt.
All the way
up to Canada.
Yep. And then they, we had from all our bush areas from Queensland to almost Melbourne, that along the coastline, go on to a fire that we'd never like. They couldn't put the things out. And after that report I saw about the ingredients of the sparkler being barium, strontium, and aluminium.
Oh, how funny.
Make a spark. I just think it's too much of a
coincidence.
Don't you think?
Rick, let me ask you something.
Yes.
So when you, after the fires, did you happen to notice, like, the trees that were still standing, did they have, like, brown leaves? Like, not black, not burnted, but brownish?
Yeah, no, there's a lot that haven't come back. I mean, I drive
that,
a lot.
But is that the stuff that you're talking about? Is that the stuff they sprayed
on? Well, I'll tell you another coincidence. Around Monsanto have been put out a aluminium resistant seed strain of corn. Why would they bring out an aluminium resistant strain of corn? Because, you know, corn they're extracting to make that really toxic sweetener that they use in the USA and soft drinks. They don't use it here, thank God. It's, you know, the corn
aspartame?
Syrup. No, it's high fructose
corn
syrup.
Yeah.
Why would Monsanto deliberately create a aluminium-resistant strain of corn if they're not spraying aluminium on top of us?
Precisely.
I'm afraid I'm a conscious conspiracy theorist. And but
is
I'm also very.
Is that supposed to make us glow in the dark or something, just so they can find us or what?
That's barium. Because have you ever been and had a CT scan, which I have,
right.
a hypochondriac. And I took a drink of barium before I went in there. I had digestive issues, which, you know, uh-huh. I was a bit stupid, and took barium. And I said, what am I going to take this for? And they said, it's to help you, you know, us identify the insides of your body. So barium is a mild radium.
Makes
that
you
makes
glow.
You glow, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a
there. We are
going
to glow in the dark with the barium. And well, then the aluminum is to make us dumb or what?
Well, the aluminum
makes you docile.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and lose your memory. And there's got to be something that's making people so stupid, and I'm sorry.
Well, I'm looking at the things. There's aluminum, and there's fluoride, and there's media.
So what is strontium for?
Strontium, the combination of the three create the same formula as a sparkler. You know, when you a firework that you light and it sparkles and it burns. Strontium.
So it fuses them or what?
The three chemicals.
Flammable.
Yeah, if you want to make your own homemade sparklers, you mix aluminium oxide, strontium and barium and then dry it and it will turn to a sparkler. Now, we weren't getting burn-offs and we weren't allowed to burn off our land for 5 to 10 years recently.
Oh, really?
And I now know. Yeah. You're not allowed to go.
Just like us in California.
Yeah. So when they do have fires, they burn at a fierceness unseen by the average firefighter that you know worked
wow.
in the last 50 years. So, and what they did in the South Coast up past Sydney. It really got smashed about 2 years ago. Well, no, it was last year, sorry, a year ago now, just before COVID's come out. And the fires were so intense that it turned the night sky, the day sky black at 9 o'clock in the morning. It shut down all the business. It was just horrific. And I luckily wasn't that affected. I drove through some serious bushfires, but where I live, you know, there's roads.
That happened here. It happened to us here in Northern California.
It happened up in Canada, too. All you have to do is read Rosa Cora's book on the Agenda 2030, and she virtually spells out that you've got to get people off the land and push them into the city. So, and here in America, and especially California and parts of, lots of parts of America. Oregon, I guess.
All the West Coast,
Yeah. They don't want you living as a kind of semi-rural, with you know, with the chickens and, you know, a pig and a goat and a couple of cows. They don't want that. They want you out of there and into a city where you're going to be part of
track and trace,
Track and trace, digital track and trace.
Get and, you into your prison.
Yeah, you're the prison planet. So Alex... Jones naming himself Prison Planet and all that. And he is speaking a lot of the stuff he says is actually happening. He screams it at you and makes them.
Well, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
You're listening.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
But that's their whole thing is to put tinfoil hat crazy on Nuggets of Truth, right?
Yeah. And Alex Jones has done a fantastic job of that, you know. Turn the frogs gay! Turn the frogs gay! You know, even though what he said was absolutely 100% correct, that chemical that he's talking about that's leaching into the waterways is causing frogs to lose their sexuality, you know, or to... you know, be amorphous. And if you read, again, Julian Huxley, so it is Julian Huxley, not Jonas Huxley, this time I'm right, Julian Huxley, his opening speech to the UNESCO in 1948, 49, I'm not sure which one, might have been 45, can't remember, he openly says we need to, using food, vaccinations and the water bring out this new the new controllable human, and they, you know, they had a 50 or 60 year agenda there, and it's 100% successful. I mean, you know the kids that are wearing acrylic clothing for their school uniforms, or their, you know, you go to a cheap shop and you can buy t-shirts that are only like $2 now, whereas a t-shirt back in the day used to be, you know, $15-$20 because it was pure cotton. But mm-hmm. this plastic that's in the kids' clothes, or in our clothes, if you're buying acrylic clothing, it's leaching into your body, and it's causing your endocrine system just to go haywire, and again, resulting in more people needing to take endocrine medicine. They're putting in our water, we've got chlorine, which absolutely destroys your digestive tract. And that creates a need for the thing that I see, the Nexium antacid, you know, it's got acid blockers.
The purple pill.
The purple pill, yeah, it is a purple pill. anyway, when you read, Julian Huxley's open, this is Alice's older brother, one or the other, they're saying this is what we're going to do. Now, yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but why... You know, why don't people listen to me when I say, read that, there's your proof. They won't do it. My brother won't do it. My friends won't do it. They don't want to know. They don't want to know that they've been lied
they're
to.
They're in a whole different paradigm, and you're just, you know, people have to meet you where you're at yours. You can't feed it to them.
Yep. Luckily.
It has to get painful for them, and then they'll be open to, and you know. I think we're going to have a lot of people that are going to say, you know, I thought you were crazy, but
maybe you're right.
I think that's going to happen in the future, the very near future, I think.
Well, you'd hope so.
I certainly hope so.
Mm. I love that.
We'll all be in the same little prison, prison all together.
I'll try and find that song. The guy that does the music for Crow's show, he released that song.
I told you so song.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Oh, I love that. That guy's a talent. And it's so true. It's like, you know, well, yeah. I fucking told you. For the last 40 years, you've been calling me a conspiracy theorist. Now who's laughing? Me. But, you know, what can you do? I mean, it's just frustrating. Alan Watts reckons that there's something in our stomach. You know how your stomach has got more nerve endings than your brain, or the same amount of nerve endings, okay? He reckons that the only reason that we, and I'm talking about people who are probably listening to this or that's on this call now, haven't taken the bait and been destroyed is that either there's something in our metabolism that didn't take the toxins that dumbed us down, that we've still got a free thought, or that we can still see a lie when it's said to us.
We worked that out. We worked it out that it was peer pressure. We're not falling for the peer pressure.
Yeah, maybe. I've always been with music. I've always liked stuff that no one else likes. And if someone told me that was a top 20 hit, I'd rather find something that I thought was a top 20 hit rather than what the authorities have told me should be the
best music.
Well,
there
you go. Music.
That's it right there.
It's an attitude.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something in our collective psyche that stop us swallowing. I mean, when I look at Anthony Fauci, I see a sleazy, two-bit gangster con man. Or I see that when I look at Bill Gates, I listen to his voice.
You see the duping delight on their faces?
I see it. But when my friends go, but you know, why would he do that to us? This is the arguments I'm having with guys that are highly intelligent, successful people going, but, you know, he's got all that money. Why would he want to kill us? Why would he want to do that? That's what they say to me. You know, that's the argument. And I just give up, you know. I just say, well, why would he? Yeah, true, why would he? Even though his father was in charge of Planned Parenthood and hung out with one of the greatest, what was that female that Bill Gates' father was, the one that pushed abortions on everybody, and it called, she called...
Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, she called African-Americans weeds, the babies weeds.
Was that... Oh, what was her name? God, I can't think of her name.
Yeah,
I know
you were. It'll be her. She was Hillary Clinton gave her glowing references at one of her speeches, saying what a wonderful, wonderful woman she was. What an absolute you know, legend of a female, like just like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, people that say how wonderful she was. She pushed abortion onto the same people. Horrific. Evil people. I can see them when I look at them, though. It's like I've got those glasses on from They Live. It's like I've got contact lenses instead of glasses that I don't need to take off. They're always on. And I can hear it in their voices, the maliciousness in their words, and they're lying.
But you know what I think is really... What's really interesting about us here in this corner, too, is that we continually go back to the picture and say, maybe it got this wrong. And it constantly leads me back to this very same place. Because I don't ever want... Because I know how they think that they're always right and, you know, and we're the crazy people.
Yeah.
So I keep going back to say, well, maybe I am... Maybe I got this wrong. And you just keep finding yourself back here again.
Well, but even the people, you know,
trying
that,
to give them the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
The people that are on board, like I said, again, I always go back to my relatives who are highly educated, quote unquote. And, you know, when I first started actually, you know, because I've been this way for probably most of my life, but when I first started voicing it and talking about it, they would say to me, this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And that's so the argument. It's always been this way, so just deal with it. And that's the best way for it to be.
Mm. Yeah, it's horrific when you keeping sane in an insane society.
It's the crabs. It's the crab pot that you can't let anybody out of the pot. You gotta drag them down with you.
Yeah.
But you know, the whole thing too is that I think that we're lucky in the way that we're pushed against the wall and we think that it's about all the external things and these people are crazy and they're doing all this crazy stuff, but we create our own reality. You know, I get to this point where I guess that's where you get pushed over into the spiritual kind of place where you have to look at it and you say, the whole world's gone crazy, but is it really? Because if we change our minds, we don't see it too. So sometimes I look at those people and I think, well, maybe they have the survival thing going on and we don't, because we're looking at all these things and going, oh my gosh, it's all crazy. But is that really a bad thing to put your head in the sand and say, I don't see it?
No, I think it's a survival mechanism, yes, but in certain respect, like you said before, you know, I think we're not bowing to the peer pressure, and we also have the strength to deal with that, because, you know, it is hard, like you said, but we, at least the way I look at it is, you know, we're not afraid of the virus, so we're not stressed about, you know, catching some boogie virus. We're not stressed about, you know, all these things that they say, you know, that we're supposed to be afraid, like nukes or global warming or what have you, you know, and, you know, so
but knowing how we put all this energy into, you know, I look at myself and I think, okay, well, life is good because I don't live in that place like they do. I don't have their kind of fear. But then, like, looking at this too much creates that insanity for us. So,
well, but maybe that's,
you know,
not
like
even
maybe,
true. Maybe,
but maybe we should be focused on what we want to see the world as, like maybe these people going down and, or, you know, humanity rising up or something. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I do. I see that, or at least I try to put that out there. I have my, remember I was telling you about my singing bowls? My singing bowl that makes the vibration, and you just make
find
the
a
sound,
happy place,
and you put it out there. You imagine the vibration going out, however far you want to imagine it.
Well, the mind is the most powerful thing that we've got. You know, like it's the power of positive thinking, obviously, and the fact you're not stressing about things like, you know, touching things and catching a disease or, you know, getting AIDS or, you know, all the things they pushed on us and all getting blown up and or a tsunami coming, or a meteorite crashing onto your house. You know that they are continuously telling us there's a giant meteor coming, an asteroid.
Asteroid.
And as you know, can I just say this, next week,
sure.
Right, next mm-hmm. week, we've got the United Arab Emirates allegedly arriving at Mars. China has got a rover and something else arriving at Mars. And America has got another one arriving at Mars all next week in the same period of time. And we know that that's bullshit, okay, that they're not anywhere near Mars. They're just lying to us.
I thought they put a cell phone on Mars.
Well,
but I think we're in a good place because we're not worried about all those things. But we can see all of our family and friends basically lining up to jump off the cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And what's a bigger fear? What's a bigger fear? You know, to see humanity just dive off a cliff, or?
All I can say, there is a link, right? There's all these different things I'm listening to at the moment, but this reset, the word that they're using is reset. There's a link between the Lost History Mud Flood crew. There's a link between reset, Lost History Mud Flood, and what's coming. And I do believe when they're talking about a reset, they're not just talking about financial, they're talking about population reset. And it's clearly happened before and before and before. It's a regular thing that obviously happens every so many years. I mean, I totally believe in that.
But Rick?
Yes?
I'm trying to figure out if this is even relevant in other countries, but, well, obviously, World War II, we have the big baby boomer, quote-unquote, generation, but there's a lot of, they keep saying that we have a bigger percentage population that's older. So couldn't it be that it's just all the old people are, it's their time.
Old,
and because there's such a large population of them.
Yeah, for sure. And they all...
And they know that. And so they're like going, look, see, you know, all these people are gone. So
it's, cult, yeah. And those people hold history and conversations with their relatives in their heads as well. So there's a good reason for getting rid of the old people, that's for sure.
Right.
A lot of them
are probably ready to go too because they see what's going on and they're probably like,
It really makes me wonder whether there is a larger population today. You know,
I don't think there is. I do not think there is. I think the population is a complete lie. That thing that they say, there's so many people. We need to, you know, that's definitely fake. I think there's the amount of people I knew that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I lost about 5 friends in a few months, just, you know, older, younger, whatever, cancer, this, that and the other. And there just seems to be lots of people dying. And it was all, you know, probably preventable. I tried in a couple of cases. I said, look, try and do this. Don't take that. Do not take the anti-cancer stuff,
Chemo,
which is straight out mustard gas from World War One, basically. That's what they made. That's what they use. They inject you with mustard gas from World War One, and it kills you. If it doesn't kill the cancer, it kills you. So, you've got it's a lose lose situation basically, and people just don't want to listen. I think a lot of people, as soon as they hear the word cancer, they think, I'm going to die. You know, I'm going to die. They don't go.
Your mind is so powerful.
That's what I say. So someone brought up epigenetics the other day, and I don't know if you've heard the epigenetics guy that Greg Carl Woods interviewed on his Highside Chat, but it's absolutely fantastic. And he explains epigenetics is that you are a product of your environment. So a cell is a product of its environment. So basically, if you're in a good environment, everything's fine, but if you're in a bad environment, no good. And you've got to change your own your subconscious is what is running you. You are run by your subconscious. Yeah. So you've got to get in charge with your subconscious, and you've got to tell your subconscious all the bull, you know, because basically for the first 5 years of our lives, we're running on the beta system. So we're watching as little kids, babies, from baby to five, I think,
right.
Six. You're
taking
on beta.
It all in.
So, yeah, you're taking it in. You're watching your mother fighting with your father and your mother arguing about money, and all these things is what shapes you in the future. You've got to go back into that past and re-educate you to say, oh, well, you know, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. You've got to get rid of the negative
shit.
And
it works. It works.
Oh,
Garrett. When you start telling yourself that stuff, you realize
yep.
that's where the power is. It's not in
the power is
the phase of reality. It's what you're
yep.
telling your head.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
the whole thing, too, is that they lied to us for so many years, our whole lives, telling
You've
us a story. We believed it to be true, and it
well,
had no
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Alan Watt, my favorite, and I'm not talking about Alan Watt, the dodgy UK thinker that has a lot of great
right.
stuff, not great stuff, is Alan Watt, the Canadian, Scotsman living in Canada. He said
mm-hmm.
a really good thing. He said, when a child asks you, you know, Daddy, what's that? And points at a tree, instead of saying, that's a tree, and it's a, he said, what you should say is say, what do you think it is? And let them create, you know, well,
their
I
own reality.
That. Yeah, don't yeah. tell them. And he said, and he's so right, he said, parents, are the ones that we are trained by our parents to have all the fears that they had in them about that bee over there might sting you, you know, or the water, you can drown in it. All these terrible things that we're scared by our parents. And he said that you need to, you know, create your own reality and don't force your fears. And he said when children are little and they go, Mummy, I don't like that person, and they say it out loud, and the parent goes, you know, stop being so rude. Stop being so rude. The child was just expressing a natural, like a fox has about being, going near a bait, you know, like a,
right.
a fox. They dumb us down as children, but they don't know they're dumbing us down. They're doing it because they think they're protecting us, but we should be increasing our natural instincts. And because we are, I think you, I saw your stuff, we are more powerful than what we know. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's actually a quote from one of the Rockefellers or Rothschilds or some of these, or it was someone powerful saying, humanity must never know how powerful they are. So that was a quote. One of them said
and
something of that.
It is so true. It is so true. Like, I am surprised that some of the things that my brain picks up on.
Yeah.
When you find that synchronicity with the universe, it's not all the crazy stuff we grew up with, that wasn't the crazy stuff. They put crazy on things that they don't want us to
hang
pay
on,
attention
hang
to.
On. You're listening to Vinny and talking about how come.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ab. Thank you, Ab. Now, have you ever driven along in a car and looked at someone that's on the side of the road and they turn around and look at you at the same time?
Yes.
That is a sign that is one of the abilities that we have to communicate from afar to someone. And that's proof of it.
Well,
you know, where you can,
when you think of it, it's like the whole world is vibration, right?
Yeah.
So, and when you think a thought, like they say, every thought that's ever been thought is still out there. So when you get
this great idea,
it's probably somebody else's thought that came to you that
you're
building
for sure.
on.
Yeah, you're right. And the best time to come up with ideas is early in the morning when you can't sleep.
It's
when
the noise is gone. Yeah.
And you listen to your own inner voice. and things pop into your head. It could be an amazing song. You could, the amount of times I've come up with amazing songs and then woken up and forgotten everything about what I was thinking. But the greatest creators and musicians, and this is kind of a different subject, but it's kind of pertinent, but I've always said that a lot of music that we listen to is channeled music, and a lot of, I've got lots of biographies of musicians, and they always said the same thing, it came up with that music in the middle of the night. The guy, particularly from Black Sabbath, Geezer Butler, who wrote, he's a bass player, wrote all their music, and I kept thinking, these guys, they're like from a working class suburb in England, in Birmingham. None of them were smart guys, right? But some of the lyrics and some of the early Black Sabbath stuff, I was reading the lyrics and I was going, this is really profound. And when you listen to the Geezer Butler talking, he doesn't appear to be a really amazing guy, but he said he comes up with his lyrics in his sleep. That's what he's...
Can I say something here?
Yeah, go.
When you start listening to the lyrics and you know that you have this part of you that's your subconscious mind, and you know that a lot of things come to us in a covert sort of way because of those people who like to control everything, they like to slip it to us so that we don't really know that it's happening. And I think in a lot of ways, when you start to examine the lyrics of songs, and trying to find a song that actually feeds your subconscious, like, really difficult. I find that's a tough one for me.
A lot of music is bad for you.
You think of your mind as being your garden, and it's like, do I want to expose myself to, like say, for instance, country music? Lack. It's all lack. And it's like, my dog died. I lost my this. I lost my that.
You just have to play it backwards. You play it backwards and everything gets better.
You just don't have to listen to country music. I'm just kidding.
You know, like if you just listen to elevator music, why don't they take all the lyrics out and just listen? But even then, I've heard that they've changed the frequency.
440, the 440.
Yeah,
440.
So it's like some music you listen to and it's like so freaking annoying and you just want to turn it off. You think, why is that so annoying? And then other music, it's just like, it sits well. So it's like, but I've got like maybe a handful of songs where I've actually found this makes me feel good. Not like I'm conquering and I've been put down and I'm coming up. And it's like, when you look at it and when you analyze it, it's like, wow, there is some serious programming in this language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that in a lot of the songs.
Well, it's music is the most weaponized of all the mediums, I think. And,
I believe that.
So back, even the fact that they brought in that, when rock and roll first came out, which I'm a music fan, but I definitely see rock and roll as being totally controlled evil bullshit, that they've use that music to fuck around with
speaking of the devil, look who's here.
Actually, even our language, when you think of our language, we're always talking about don't do this. It's like, why don't we think about what we want to move to rather than what we don't want? So when you think of how we actually think and talk, it's always with the form of lack. It's never with moving towards something. It's always, I don't want this and we can't do that. And actually, all those negatives, your subconscious takes in and it doesn't even know the difference. So
it's negative to getting us anywhere. Because while you're obsessing on what we shouldn't do, you're absolutely not moving toward what we should do.
The energy is being stolen off, siphoning off the energy.
Precisely.
You're bringing it to you because we're like magnets, like the moon and the earth.
Right.
We're like attracts like. So if that's in our conscious mind and we're saying don't hit the water, don't hit the water, and then you hit the water and you wonder why.
And the negative is so exhausting. It not only keeps you from going in a productive direction, it exhausts you from ever going in a productive direction.
Right. So it's I literally kind of wonder satanic. If it's designed that way, right?
It is designed that way. Absolutely.
I believe it is.
Effective to not be designed that way.
Yeah. So I do challenge myself to be aware of it and then push forward to what I want. And that's why I don't come here that often, because I don't want to beat the drum of what is, because then we never get past what is.
Which, that's the worst part of psychologists, is the idea here that everything is fake. Solutions aren't very much valued here at all. It's very
black.
Yeah, you've got to filter out the conversations with people that are going to keep pulling you down or getting into fights or arguing. There is no point in arguing shapes of the earth, as far as I'm concerned. It actually doesn't matter what shape it is.
Absolutely right.
People that get all of you messed up because they want to know what's under some guy's skirt, whether it's a woman or a man.
I'll say this. Some of it is good because it's like a magazine, reading a magazine and kind of not thinking about the real world and going to like the EGI thing. It means nothing to anyone. Who cares? But it's a light subject that can be easygoing to...
It's an outlet. Flat earthers because I can't argue about anything I care about with people in the real world. Like, I try and talk about things that matter, and I just get shut down so much. I just come here
it's a great subject. I mean, I'm fascinated, but I've kind of learned in the last couple of years, don't get into these massive arguments with someone or something that you can't change.
Just don't put too much value in it. Don't pretend like it's
anything other than that. What would be a solution? What could we do as a solution? Like, do we feel like victims, or do we feel like we want to make a tiny ripple so that, you know, it eventually does change the world in a millennia or two?
Well, every time you speak to someone in the real world, you get through to you are changing. You are changing the world in some way, you know. But when you do it,
Rick, can I tell you something? If you're in a room, right, and there's a couple of mosquitoes in there, you ask yourself if something little doesn't change the world. You know what I mean?
That means when you're trying to have a sleep at night and there's a little mosquito.
Yeah, exactly. They're sitting there and they change it. Those mosquitoes change the world. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what me and you, when we go to Downing Local, or you say don't downplay it. I listened back to our conversation last night, and it's nice to talk to you, Phallus and Vidya. Look,
I'm glad you think
so. I just posted the court documents. The blank stuff is my personal details. I don't want that out there.
I do.
You can read them. Yeah, but we've read them. And you guys are doing a great job.
Well, we're just going to keep talking about the subject.
All right. Okay. I'll be quiet.
You can fuck off.
So, the way I see it, Vidya, is there's a few practical, productive things we can be doing. What we're already doing is having conversations, being aware, talking to everybody who's willing to talk about things and giving them an alternative opinion. But besides those things, which don't involve building anything, they're just engagement with the world around us, which is very important. And not to be diminished whatsoever. It's the most valuable thing. But there's the idea me and Guy have been pushing for like 8 months now of a shift, developing like a non-fiat exchange system for exchanging services to not be involved in the government. It's the same idea that Marcus Allen is doing with Exclave. And Freedom Cells, there's various organizations trying to do this, but they only work if you get people to do it, which is difficult.
There are people that are doing it, and there are people
absolutely.
That are moving in that direction. So
it only serves the people that are already aware. So it doesn't like... But that's an example, which will influence other people.
Right.
which can only, it can save only the world. Be role models. That's an excellent thing to do.
That's all you can do is lead by example and try your best.
Right.
But even
my fear, or not fear, is my concern is that people come here and they feel like a victim, and what can we do? And, you know,
anybody who comes in here and wants to be a victim, like, they'll get sympathy for a minute, and then my patience is gone. It's like, nobody benefits from feeling like a victim. You need to take struggle and turn it into learning and experience, and then an opportunity to better yourself. If you want to be a victim, you're stuck in the system. And you don't leave the system until you stop feeling like a victim. That's one of their tools, because they want everybody to feel like a victim and powerless when everybody's so ultimately powerful.
And you know what? I almost want to make these t-shirts and say, we outnumber them.
We absolutely do.
Isn't Benoit doing something like that? He said he was going to have some merchandise. I don't know if it was t-shirts or hats or what, but I've also heard people say something about stickers, like to buy a printer, a sticker printer, and post.
Oh yeah, I was telling you my son's girlfriend has one of those Cricuts where you can make t-shirt stickers, or you can put them on your car or whatever.
It makes such a difference too. You would be surprised.
It opens the conversation, right? Yeah.
Straight away. Yeah. Just like when Rollo and I go to court for Rollo's court case. Good story last night, fakeholders.com. I'll be wearing a fakeholders. Oh, well, last night's the latest show on fakeholders, I think. And we're going to go to the pretty serious court. The Downing Center, which is they only take hardcore cases, because he
on the fact sheet it says police witnesses zero, civilian witnesses zero.
Oh man, they've stuffed up. The cops have stuffed up because they actually harassed him, and he's going through a divorce or whatever, or a marriage breakup at that stage. He'd lost the plot. He was just ringing, because he was listening to all the shit going on the radio, and he was ringing up the COVID-19 hotline demanding answers from them, and they just kept hanging up on him. And I kept saying, don't keep harassing them, because I'll bring the police in. They'll bring the police in. And they did bring the police. The police came around, and he said to them quite nicely, could you please shoot me? Just don't shoot the dog. In America, if you ask, and I kid you not, that's exactly what he would have said. And they just said, no, we're taking you to sober up. And they took him into a local hospital and sobered
up. We're taking you from your home to sober up in jail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did that. And then I'm just cooking as I'm talking to you. But then they came around at least three times to harass him or to talk to him. So I thought the problem was solved. Like thought there's no issue here, but no, they've just they gave him charges. So he's got to appear at the Downing Centre on March the 31st due to his harassment over carriage service of the director of COVID-19 Australia. 55 phone calls.
55? Oh my God.
Yeah, can you believe it?
They couldn't answer his questions, so who's harassing
They couldn't
who?
Answer the questions. Exactly, and well, I said
who's
they
not
are
doing
a
your
service.
Job.
Exactly. They are a service that are getting paid to answer questions for the public. And why would they just hang up on a guy? And then, this is the top it all off, they said to him, you need to ring up the crisis hotline, whatever it is, I can't remember the name of it, it's like a crisis hotline. So he did, and they rang the police and sent the police around to Rollo's place, where he very kindly said, can you please shoot me? And luckily they didn't. For his sake, and
not for our sake.
Yeah, that was all on record, and they've denied. So on their charge sheet, they said that we tried to contact them, we couldn't. A total lie. I know the police have been around there a lot. So yeah, so we're going to court on the 31st, dressed up, and he was going to dress up as a Joker, wearing the Joker makeup, which I I think we've kind of agreed that he won't do that.
I would love good for the paragraphs because they are hilarious.
Initially,
the accused contacted the National Coronavirus Helpline, repeatedly calling with no issues to report or genuine questions to ask. In many of these calls, the Health Direct staff have informed the accused that his calls were not welcome, and that further contact to the helpline will result in his number being blocked or action from the police. After his number was blocked from the National Coronavirus Helpline, the accused began contacting the Health Direct Nurse Triage Helpline. Again, he was informed that his calls were not welcome, and he was subsequently blocked from the service.
So what was he asking? Like
after this, the accused began contact. They have a syntax error here, but okay. He began contacted the head office of Health Direct, located in Sydney, NSW. The accused left a number of voicemails, which were akin to his previous calls. During his calls, the accused has requested to speak with Karen Borg, the CEO of Health Direct.
Yep. It's hilarious.
Roller
is, if you can imagine, a living character, Lockie Sounds, he is like that. I mean, when we went to the protest in Sydney, he dressed as the Joker in a purple suit, completely covered with Joker makeup on. And everywhere we went, people were staring and following us, and he chats away and talks to complete strangers, as he does. And it was hilarious. We had a great time, fantastic time. But this one, they fucked up, the police here with this charge. Because
spoke to the accused over the phone, where he stated, "I didn't think it was a big deal."
Well, that's true. So he didn't think it was a big deal, and they should have. They said stop ringing. So he did stop ringing in September. But now, 6 months later, they've put charges on him.
Oh, wait, this was over a period of days? Or this was just like one night?
Over a week. I think you can see the date there.
Phone calls.
Yeah, I think there was probably a bit more than that. But the fact that they've used that number, that's hilarious.
That's not that many. That's what, like, how many a day?
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
You could go there. That could be like seven
a day.
Five over 10 days.
Yeah.
There isn't really a time period in the documents.
Between
the 17th of August and the 25th of September.
Yeah.
So it's
So you got 6 weeks.
Like 40 days.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's
a couple of days.
Bitches.
Maybe he's got questions.
He had questions, exactly. That's what we wanted.
Hi, this is John Friend.
This is me.
I'm Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
And like what? They're fun with taxpayer dollars to answer questions.
They are paid to answer questions, and they refuse to speak to them. Simple
by,
as that.
By Rollo, by taxpayers.
Yeah. Just ridiculous.
I doubt their line's saturated with questions. I'm pretty sure those people are essentially dancing.
He was probably the only guy rigging them, I would say.
Which is why they noticed.
I would want to know what their policy is, how many questions each person's allowed.
that's the kind of good question that's going to be when we go to court on the 31st. That's going to be asked. How many questions are these people allowed a day? If he wasn't answering.
Yeah, like maybe you've got lots of questions that come up every other day and you just
Yeah, he's
it.
A questioner. Rollo likes asking questions. Simple as that. And you didn't answer
And
any
you
of them.
Throw this on some OCD person and of course they're going to have questions. But they're supposed to be there to answer them. Is there like a minimum that you can have or maximum questions? Yeah, I'd
brilliant.
Be asking.
Will be after this case. It's going to be a groundbreaking case where they now have to define the amount of questions and the allowed
the
questions.
The number of calls you can make.
They're going to have to set up a committee to figure out how many questions each person's allowed to ask.
Allowed to ask a day, yeah.
And if your questions are associated with conspiracy theories and white supremacy, you're not allowed any questions.
Yeah, so they're going to have to sit down and figure out the type of questions that are allowed and what question, if profanity is that, how
that's
much
bureaucracy.
I'll just say
if
that,
you cut
what
that
are you getting paid for? Yeah.
Well, you know, AT&T has a policy. If you cuss at them, they're allowed to hang up on you, and you are no longer they can say you can't be their customer anymore.
Oh, really?
Well, there's businesses in America, like banks are closing people's accounts if they associate them with
This is something that's been there for years. I mean, I remember this is, well, you know, a few years back when they, you know, I read all the crap they send you, like, you know, these are the new agreements.
A company should be allowed to cancel business with anybody they want for whatever reason they want. And then people stop supporting that business and they support the one that will work with them. That being a thing is the root of capitalism being good.
Yeah.
The problem is they already have a monopoly when they start doing
that. Right. They're the only game in town.
Yeah, they saved all of their racism and bigotry until they were the monopoly.
I can't understand the fact that they blocked him each time and the police came around and said don't do it, so he stopped doing it. And now they've decided to press charges. It's ridiculous.
I keep going back to those calls and I keep thinking, you know, they went and they hung up on him. It wasn't like he was prank calling them and hanging up on them. It's like
they
called them.
They hung up on him. And it said a number of his calls went unanswered in the actual charge sheet. It says that.
He's just and an angsty ex-boyfriend.
Exactly. So they weren't doing their job. They should have answered
They weren't
his
doing
calls.
Exactly. And so he's got every right to go there and say, you have humiliated me in this court by bringing me here, and I want my... I want my reparations for this. Yeah, and when he gets those reparations, me and him are going to the casino. We'll be going to the casino.
Yeah, and they're being paid government money to provide.
Go give it to the Native Americans.
Or the
Aborigines.
We're not in America.
Yeah, same thing. You have Aborigines. We have Aborigines.
Do the Aborigines have casinos in Australia?
No. No, that's a whole story. I mean, that whole story about what they did to the, what was the company that was involved with it? It was that dodgy American security company, Wackenhut, that was running these casinos that were putting on the Indian reservations so that they could not be under the same laws as the rest of the people.
It was all driven by someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, good story. So I'll tell you what, every second thing that's coming up in this conversation, you could do a whole show on the illegal activities on Indian reservations run by the government.
Which would be a great
show. Great show. It'd be very good. Wackenhut's a great company to discuss. I don't know if you know much about them, but they were like they did private security for military installations.
Never heard of them.
Wackenhut. I'll send a link.
I want to go back to the previous dialogue real quick because I want
to finish the
talking point about how talking to people and just getting ideas out there as competing opinions is what we actively do and the best thing to do. And there's A Shift with me and Gaia and Exclave with Marcus Allen. But I think it's gotten to a point now where people are just buckling down in their beliefs, and the only way we're going to hit like the 20/80 rule of waking up enough people is if it gets worse enough that they have to finally acknowledge that they're being taken advantage of, lied to, and murdered.
When the money runs out, though, I think that's going to be an awakening.
Well, they already have a plan for that. That's the great reset, Charles Schwab. You'll own nothing and be happy. They claim all your assets and they give you a steady universal basic income.
I don't know. I just, you know, when people lose everything and then they feel, you start seeing this clear picture. Somebody just effed me over here.
There's people that own things and don't have to deal with this issue of struggling, and there's people that don't own things which are the majority, who will happily turn over their assets to have no debt and be provided with a consistent income without doing any sort of work. And that's
they are definitely targeting the people that don't own anything right now,
which is the majority.
Jump on the ship, and then they're removing the funds of the people who have a little bit that are, you know, day to day small business
people. It's a classic communist takeover. They're manipulating the minds of the people that own nothing to be on their side, but it will get to a point where eventually those people start to suffer. And then, like, it probably won't be for 2 years that it starts to catch up to them and they're like, oh man, I signed up on the wrong package. And then we'll get to a point where enough of the population is, like, open to considering they've been lied to. And there'll be a tipping point. But until then, honestly, I think we're just in a limbo, and all we can do is build our own private communities to enable each other outside the system.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go, because we don't want to go back, that's for sure.
Well, it's absolutely the best way to go, but it doesn't include most people. It's not, like, as productive as it will be in a few years.
It's like Noah's Ark.
Well, then everybody didn't get on Noah's Ark, just die.
Well, they're just taking the cliff. They're on their way out.
So hopefully we do a good enough job over the next 2 years demonstrating systems outside of the mainstream so that when they finally are pushed to a point where they are willing to question it, they can look at our better systems and be like, oh, well, I'm going to go do that. And then immediately all the power that is dissolves to the people. That's my optimistic.
Yeah, because they're going to have to back off if we're not on the plan. You know, it's only by us allowing this
they move
forward with their plan. And I think if enough people just say, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm
but
not going that way.
Do that
not
until
taking
they
your toxic chemicals and
your anal swabs and 4 face masks.
Oh God, when that happens, that's when I go bloody postal. Anal swab. Give me a fucking break.
I'm barely willing to wear 1 mask. You want me to wear 4?
That is just not going to happen. No. You're not going to 2 masks.
What did they say? I think it's Super Bowl Sunday. They say you're not supposed to gather in your house, but yet you're not supposed to have televisions at the bar. It's like, totally inside. But of course, that's the whole thing. That's the game, right? Makes everybody crazy.
That it makes so little sense, you can't even form an opinion.
Right. I think a lot of people have given up on sports as well. I think they're pissed about that. I mean, I've heard a lot of guys say, you know,
I'm not even going to get rid of the distraction.
Yeah,
give rid of the distraction and people will think.
Well, you think all the circuses are gone. I mean, literally.
I mean, WWE is still happening. They just surround their stage with like a giant projector screen and project a bunch of webcams on it of the people paying to watch.
is that really as popular though? I mean, I don't know. I always thought football was like the biggest thing and, all the rest of them were kind of...
I stopped associating with all my sports fan friends over a year ago, so I honestly don't know.
Well, I do know that driving through the streets of L.A., there are a lot of people that don't wear masks.
Driving through the streets of Portland, I get to see half the people in cars wearing masks while they drive alone.
I know, it's not
How's the
traffic down there, Vadir, as far as... You know, L.A. traffic is hellacious.
It was really light last year, but it's gone back to pretty much almost normal.
Back up to normal, huh?
Everybody's figured out how to work their jobs within the constraints of the system, which includes a bunch of nonsense conditioning methods.
You've got all these people that have stayed home to work from their home office now, but you've got all these people that are working Instacart or driving, delivering everything. So,
checking on the people who don't want to leave their house.
use a food delivery service maybe like once a week, a couple times a month, and I have in my special notes like masks not required. Please come to my door and interact with me like a person.
That's a good idea.
But they've always worn a mask, and they usually drop my food by my gate and don't even come inside.
Because they're scared that you're probably the control, looking to see if they're following the rules.
Yeah, like the alcohol tester, the OLCC who goes to businesses and has a fake ID and tries to get you to sell them alcohol illegally. Such a, that's literally, what is that word the cops do where they like set you up for a crime?
Yeah. The trap.
Entrapment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I found out in my job applications a few months ago, I was trying to get a job at a liquor store. And hilariously, the very Portland man started the interview by talking about how, oh man, you're young. You won't get to get the vaccine for months because you're so low on the priority list. I'm just like,
See, they don't want the young people getting it too quickly because those are the ones they want. They want to get rid of the old people.
And when the young people suffer from the vaccine, they'll have less excuse for the suffering. It'll draw more attention than when older people die. But the joke is the job interview started with me having to agree with his vaccine agenda. But something I learned in that interview is in Oregon.
Okay, I'm not going to work here.
I mean, I was really desperate for a job, so I would have worked there. But I've panned that out. I'm happy with my current situation, blue collar work. But I found out during the interview that in Oregon, the state owns all of the alcohol, and every single liquor store is literally state owned, and you have to appeal to a court of the state alcohol commission to get to run a liquor store, and then the commission sets all the prices for all of the liquor in the city. So there's like no competition between the liquor stores unless they
That's
sell
how it
things
is in Canada.
It's
like that in Canada.
It's by
province, which is by state.
I had no idea.
Like that in most states, we just don't realize it.
I think it is too because supposedly the way I understand it works in California is you have to have a license and, you know, the governing board who gives it to you, there's only so many. So if somebody has to die or give up their license in order for you to get the, there's like lots of legislation around it and it's not easy and there's a lot of payola that happens.
I came from Florida where
it's more obvious where you are.
Specific liquor stores to buy specific things because they had different prices. I never considered the idea that it would operate differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. There are different prices on different from store to store. So that's interesting.
Not in Oregon.
How that works, how that would work here, because like you could go to like a grocery store, like a big chain grocery store, and the price will be one thing, and then you go to a drug store and it might be slightly different. I mean, not a huge difference, but and a small chain grocery store might charge you more for the same bottle of liquor. So
but then you go here in California, you have the grocery outlet and they have
Total Wine and More.
3 pounds of sugar for $2.
Yeah.
Not literally sugar. I mean like sugar glazed pastries. I mean carbs coated in sugar.
Well, you can always get sugar for a good price, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like crack.
Yeah.
It's like crack that you don't need the CIA to sell to people.
Exactly. You don't need the military to guard it.
You know, another big lie that they tell us, too, is the food thing. I got into this with Kay. By the way, she said that she had to leave. I meant to tell you that probably about an hour ago.
I was going to say she's only been gone for about an hour, more than an hour. But
she actually put me onto it a few years back. And, of course, you know, if you're not in the right place to hear it, you don't hear it. But then
if you're stressed,
I got my teeth done, and then I had to eat these like soft foods. Well, I had some teeth work done, but anyways, so I'd have a lot of smoothies, and I was thinking I got to get enough nutrients while I can't eat solid food. So I thought I'll eat lots of fruit, and wow, what a difference! Like we are totally made for the fruit thing,
And
for natural foods.
Yeah, because if you think about it, without infrastructure, we wouldn't be eating vegetables because most of them we have to cook. So if you
think of,
that's a lie too. That's another lie they sold to us, the whole protein thing. Like nobody ever says where'd the gorilla get all his protein, and he eats like 75% of his diet is fruit. And he's got like the most muscle mass. Or look at elephants too. Nobody says where do they get their protein from.
Peanuts.
But, but that's literally only like 25% of their diet. The rest
have
is...
You, so there's a guy on... I mean, I listen to all sorts of crap, you know, on different shows, but have you listened to, the guy... There's a fruit guy that... I think Kaham and...
Dr. Morris.
That's him, yeah. And swear to God, all you need to do is eat fruit. That's all you need.
And
you that'll swap
solve,
over to...
It solves so many things. It solves so many things. It's so true.
Interestingly, the guy that Ab was talking to, who's a on one of the, he was on a show that the folkologists kind of linked to for a while, and they had two or three guys, and one of them had won all these prizes that you had to be the last man standing touching a car, and he'd won like five or six cars on these US TV competitions, and he said how he did it is he just ate fruit, because that fruit doesn't need to be digested by your digestive system, so you don't need to, you get straight out energy from it. So it doesn't, it runs, it gets digested straight away without all this hard work by your organs.
It's very simple to digest.
Yeah. So his technique was just eating fruit for a week while he was on these competitions, standing there with his finger on a car. You're allowed to go to the toilet three times a day. And then come back, and yet it was the last man standing with their finger on the car. And this particular guy on TV.
Here I go again, listening to him. Very cold.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
No, thank you.
But no, you know what you. Started this for me too was looking up these people that eat lots of bananas. Like they eat cases of bananas.
There's an Aussie girl, the banana girl you're talking about.
Right.
Yep.
If you look up people like that, because I thought, let me go see these people. And, you know, you look at them and they're so slender and their body looks so beautiful. Their skin looks so young. And then there's that other couple. They live somewhere in, I think she's from England and he's from Norway or something like that. But there are a couple that live on fruit, and they were showing their before pictures. And now she looks like she's her own daughter. But it's like you realize a lie that's been told to us. When
Can I say something? There was a guy called Joaquin Phoenix. He played the Joker, and to lose all the weight, what he did, this is what I've heard, that he just ate one apple a day for like 3 months. And it didn't kill him. Obviously, he drank water and that, but it didn't kill him. Did you see all the weight he lost?
I wouldn't believe a thing that piece of shit said. He would have just taken
what after winning the Academy Award.
Mate, I wouldn't watch his movie if you came and gave me $1,000 an hour to sit and watch it. Actually, I would.
You've never watched The Joker.
No.
Okay, you guys have just segued into crazy talk. Is that what? Because I'm
all right. Calm down, Rick. Vidir. So basically, yeah. Do you
really believe that, Rollo?
The human body. The human body can only last 3 days without water and without food. Like look at Bobby Sands. Bobby Sands went on a hunger diet back in 1980, if I remember rightly. He went on a hunger strike. You tell him, Rick.
They end up force-feeding him, though, Rolla. They end up...
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. If you don't want to eat... You don't want to eat as a form of protest. Don't force feed me. Don't stick a saline drip in my arm. I don't want it.
But I don't believe anything. Joaquin Phoenix is a part of the vegan agenda.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, so don't let him do not let anything he says go into your ears as being true. The guy was probably shooting speed up for a month, yeah. And then he went into the role
well,
of the
he's, joke. Well, he's, well, his brother, unfortunately, passed away with Johnny Depp.
Mark Dice.
Johnny, the Viper,
Mark,
the Viper Club.
Mark Dice, apparently. It's his new role as Mark Dice.
Oh, okay. Is that what
you're
saying? That's
cool. IPS. Listen to IPS show. Mark Dice is...
You'll be a regular on there in future, is that right?
No. You keep saying that.
No.
All John Le Bon suggested I make a regular phone call on his appearance on the new something Dark Matter network that IPS is running. And I said I might do that. I might do that.
Yeah. Well, you'd be great on there. I mean, you could talk underwater. Yeah. I mean, you'd be great. And thank you guys for reading my Karen Borg, the police. And me and Rick are going to be at that court. That kangaroo court is what we call it. Kangaroo court. But what did you say? Don't downplay it. Downing local street is actually quite big in Sydney. So,
I've been drinking rum and coke all last night, so I didn't make as much sense as I'd like to, but I keep repeating myself
as I'm tired of everybody using alcohol as an excuse.
It actually lowers your vibration. It's like
Then Rollo's got no vibration. Then Rollo has no vibration.
Yeah, he's like, that's why, it's hard to communicate at his level, because he's got to, it's like you're doing, what do they call that when you bend over backwards and you go underneath the...
Limbo.
Yeah, that's where he is.
Yeah, I reckon he'd be a good limbo dancer too.
Yeah. But anyways,
yeah, look, alcohol, there's nothing wrong with alcohol. It's just a manner of... how much you use,
how you handle it,
how much
and
you
how you
use,
handle
and,
it,
and how you can cope with it depending on the amount of intake that you have. And I've drunk it all my life, a lot. I've drunk
was
a lot
it
all my life.
Involved near 55 calls to the
no,
I'm
not,
yeah.
51.
55.
No, I'm 51. I'm 51. But
no, not your age. Obvious. God damn, dude. Your 55 calls.
You're talking about the charge sheet that I posted. Yeah.
Oh, fellas, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 28. I'm like the youngest person here and the newest person here.
You are. Far out.
And the most antagonistic, egotistical person here, apparently.
No way.
We've all got egos. Every single person here wins that war for all of us.
Yeah, Guy wins the ego. There's no two ways about it. You got nothing on Guy, let me tell you. The guy's got an ego. But he's Dutch, and that is a part of the Dutch psyche, is having a big ego. It's just the way they are. It's the way they are.
Yeah. Ego, nothing wrong with ego. Ego is not a dirty word. Ego is not a dirty word. Shirley Strawn said that, and I believe it, too.
I didn't say it with any negativity. I said it with humorous glib.
You're calling him Shirley.
Yeah. What a great gag that was. Don't call me Shirley.
I muted myself for a minute, so I don't know where you guys are at, but I kind of want to drop a point on the berries thing and eating certain things.
Yeah, let's go back to food. Food was where we were at.
Yeah, I'll stick to the fruit.
We like to talk about how, like, this food is good for you, but I think it goes back to, like, your genetic heritage immensely. Lactose intolerance is a really good example. Like, I'm Norse Nordic. I love milk so much, and cheese and all these things that are natural for people that grew in an area that's mostly winter and can only really deal with live animals.
Fish for breakfast. If you're Nordic, fish for breakfast.
Yeah, I keep smoked salmon in my fridge all the time.
I know exactly what you are.
All that stuff is like the worst thing for you because it just plugs up your whole system.
Well, that's why I'm bringing this up, because you presented that idea, and what I'm saying is people evolved in different areas eating different things, and their bodies are more suited to digesting and certain.
Oh, fellas, you're bang on when I suggested fish for breakfast. That is a Nordic thing, and every Nordic person I know, whether they were born here or if their parents came from Norway or Sweden or any of those countries, they have fish for breakfast. It's their way of surviving. And it's very good for you. Very good for you to have fish.
And there's a constant theme in the stories of people that live to like 100 years old. They're like, yeah, I just eat the same thing every day for 60 years. And they refuse to change their diet. And they still live over 100.
Exactly. Eat Japanese and you're going to live to 100, guaranteed.
If you're Japanese, like I'm not going to eat rice every day. Rice and carbs.
Rice. In Asia, it was known as pauper's food back in the day. They were only given rice after the communists took over and they weren't allowed to have cows and eat and fish. That was the reason and they ate insects because of communism. Nothing to do with what they wanted. Yeah. In Asia, in China rather, rice to this day is known as pauper's food and the rich in China do not eat rice. They eat meat.
Yeah.
Meat. Okay. Not insects, but meat.
You know what's really interesting, too,
how
about
porpoises
the meat
right.
of this? if you look at the methionine in the levels in beef and in chicken and in fish, beef has the highest methionine level, and then I think chicken comes next, and then fish doesn't. But it was interesting. I was listening to...
Uh-oh, sorry. Right, switch it off then. You're right, I hate those. The surface sounds. I don't forget you when there's no one else around.
Sorry, I stopped.
Do you know what that song actually
rude.
Is about? Yeah, that's rude. But turning Japanese is a referral to masturbation and your eyes going all funny at a certain peak. Yeah. That song was about, let me tell you right now.
Anyway, I was getting back to this really cool story.
Yes, go over there.
Listening to this yogi named, his name's Sadhguru, and he talks about the energy and the vibration in the different foods, like the chicken and the beef, and it's like the higher the intelligence level, it's like because you're eating the cells of that particular organism or animal, it's a conflict with your own. So that's why fish is the best to eat, because it's the most prehistoric and has the less vibration. So when you get up to beef, it's like
it's
all
too
wrong
close
to your system.
Home. It's like being cannibalistic. It's too close to home.
Yeah.
The genetic association is much closer than with fish.
Right. And you know how when children are born of their parents and they pick up their ancestors, the energy or the thoughts and idea, or they act the same way as their grandfather. Like my kids, they're a lot like their grandfather and they only see him like maybe once a year. And so that's kind of odd, you know, just the fact that where does that come from? And it's just the energy in yourself.
Epigenetics has got something to do with it, I think, that we absorb our genes that we have, that we look like our great-grandfathers most of the time. If you've ever seen a picture of your great-grandparents, you'll see a very strong resemblance of one of your children, if not yourself.
Yeah, I do look
There's
a lot
a phenomenon
like
where you skip a generation in your phenotype.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. There's something, I mean, the thing about genes definitely is a real thing. I mean, I go to lots of people's places and look at their photos and stuff and go, geez, that looks like them, and that's something that might be a two. Oh, God. Who's singing there?
Cows with guns.
That and
big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun.
Go away. Yeah, our genetics, though, are controlled by our relatives from distant past. So we are our great-grandparents, probably.
It's hilarious. Last night in the chat, I'm asked a genetics question, and everybody denies genetics. Now tonight, we're talking about genetics. Like, the versatility in fakeologists is bar none.
It's in your vibration. You draw those people to you.
You ask for it.
Well, when you get three to four people in a room,
I welcome conflict to find new truths, because you don't get truth without addressing beliefs. So somebody's got to be presenting a conflict.
That's the thing. When you get three people in a room, or four or five talking, you will encounter so many more interesting subjects. And that's where I suspect some people are. Agents of deception, that they come and they'll change the subject just as you're getting into a good groove of a particular subject, and they will interrupt and change the subject into something
completely
different. Frank accused them live on air yesterday, but I don't think, to be honest, at that time, I just think JLB was sick of hearing the conversation was on ether, which I'm interested in. Let me tell you right now. I love
we weren't having a good conversation, though. It was bad.
Yeah. But look, that's why
I would love to have a good conversation on it, but I don't think you'll have a good conversation with those people whatsoever.
Oh, well, look, next time you want to have a good conversation on the ether, I'm there for 100%, because I'm into that.
Like attracts like, and they're in a whole different vibe. So that's why it gets harder and harder to talk to people. Have you ever been in a room with a whole bunch of drunk people and you're the only sober one?
Oh, that's why I drink.
That's on Saturday night.
Okay, have you ever been in a room with a whole bunch of sober people and you're the only drunk one?
Then I just become sober.
Rollo knows about that one. But you've got to... allow the conversation when you've got three minds talking can go in all these incredible directions. And Alan Watt, I keep quoting Alan Watt, but he said the same thing. He said, the fact that you can react with other people's minds and you'll come to this amazing, place. If you allow the natural flow of three minds or four minds that are thinking alike, bouncing off each other, that's the way you discover things and learn things. I mean, I prefer to be, because I talk too much.
That's a sentiment I believe and feel, but when I'm talking to those guys about these things, it doesn't feel like there's any bouncing. It feels like walls.
Nobody's home. Nobody's home.
Yeah. You've got to watch the deflection and direction that some people will take you into. And
this is a perfect example of various minds being open to each other. Last night was the opposite of that, and it's a fascinating comparison.
Yeah, well, anyone listening to both calls will pick up on that one, I would say.
I hope so.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
That earlier tonight. Where it had a really good pace and a really good flow, and there was very little of the interruption, and I got to talk about something totally different.
Yeah.
Or was that me?
Bang on though, Vidya. You're right. You've got to allow people to kind of butt in sometimes, but not change the subject into something completely different.
I think it comes down to ego. Like, are you willing to let the room exists separate from you, or do you have to dominate it?
Here we go.
like that.
Yeah, Rollo.
It's got to be Rollo.
I love to have a beer with Duncan. I love to have a beer with Duncan.
Turn that off.
We drink it off.
He's working on it. It just takes a little minute to type the stop.
he's hilarious. And he does wear this mysterious star around his neck. I've met him many, many times. And I thought, I wonder if that's the Eastern Star from the Masons. But I doubt it. He seems to be pretty genuine to me. But he is definitely a interrupter of the highest magnitude.
Antagonist.
I don't think there's anyone... antagonist, but he just interrupts and changes the subject all the time.
And see,
but funny.
They know that they don't need to hire anyone because we already have ours.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to Silverbeam earlier, and we were postulating whether or not like all the flat earthers are just like a dozen CIA operatives running all these accounts to waste our time.
Hey, there's definitely a there for that one.
I wish that was the case. I wish there wasn't an actual phenomena of people stuck in...
Yeah, you got to really watch where you waste energy with that, because chances are they're probably just a bot, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I listened to...
On Reddit, I spent way too much time in my early truthing period trying to, like, have debates on Reddit. And eventually I'm just like, God, you must all be bots or shills or something. I don't understand.
I'm just putting salt into a bar as I'm talking.
I think they have it on those neighborhood apps now, too.
Now, I get them. I've got this thing, the Nextdoor app, that it's not an app, but I signed up to it. But and then all of a sudden I get these weird messages, and I was thinking, what have I signed up to? And it was the Nextdoor app. And they want to say things like, you know, is there a criminal?
Oh. You're listening to Rick talking about.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Napoleon Wilson. I'm in Manchester, UK. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Napoleon.
What a champion man that one is.
He needs to come back. He won't, though. I talked to him on the Telegram, and he's. He says he doesn't want to come back.
No.
What do they go every 20 minutes or what?
Yep.
Like yes. 45.
You just, 20. You 20 minutes. I thought it was 30, but it's 20. Yeah. It's a bit annoying. He did. He's tweaked them all.
Getting back to the next door app you were talking about, you had... I would notice that they would post these things about somebody's doing something in the neighborhood, and I should report them because they're all getting together and they don't have masks on and blah, blah, blah.
Communism. It's communism. Yeah. That's what...
Apparently, it's international.
And they'd say something like, well, don't be so selfish. And I'd say, why? So you can be selfish?
Exactly.
It's like every time I would come... and say something, they'd have something to say about it. But I thought, who thinks that? And now, they're bots.
They are.
Have you gotten banned?
I banned them. What happens
to get banned? If they go against the, the party line.
I've had them delete a few conversations, and then the last conversation I had, I said, this will get deleted. And then somebody came back, this woman came back, oh, no, this won't be deleted. And I thought, who are you to tell me that? And then all of a sudden, they had all these comebacks that were like, why would you even have a comeback for what I just stated? It's like they had, I can't even remember what it was. And then I thought, you know what? Delete. That app is gone. So...
when you were saying before, and I was saying that... What I was saying before, and when I said that the technocracy is coming, whether you like it or not, it's here, and we're living in the technocracy right now. There's not, and I don't think, apart from switching off your smartphone and going into your room and shutting the doors and not talking to anyone, that's the only way you can deal with it. Or you just have to put up with it and realize that, half whatever you say is being recorded. No, everything you say is being recorded. Everything.
And Discord owns everything you send and say.
I remember this, right, when... I'm of the age when mobile phones first come out. And what they did on the front page of the newspapers, they said, oh, these mobile phones are an absolute hindrance to the police because the police aren't able to track the calls. And so all of a sudden, for about 6 months, you'd see all these guys, like, and I know a few dodgy people, they're all sitting there on their mobile phones chatting away, da-da-da, you know, they can't record us, you know, it's all good, saying whatever they were getting up to. Next thing you know, these people started getting arrested because all the conversations were being monitored.
Yeah,
they've always recorded. And apparently, they've recorded every phone call that's ever been made, ever.
Absolutely.
Through AT&T, back
every
from the 1950s.
Every text.
Every single one. Yeah, and
that's the biggest joke. I got banned from a server last week because I came in and was talking, and apparently I was too open, and they called me a fed trying to bait them out. And I'm like, guys, you realize everything you said has already been recorded. Like, I have no inhibitions because I acknowledge that it's already too late. I've already said too many things that if they want to arrest me, they will. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
The fact that you're only 28 years of age, so you would have been born in 92, right?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm actually terrible at math, but I'm good at simple math. The fact that you are part of a generation that was fucking stupefied by vaccinations, media, music, and everything. I mean, that you've come out with
fascinating.
A mind.
The 90s. So
you're about 1% of your generation.
Oh, I'm aware that I'm not friends with any of my peers. All of my friends are much older than me. Generally,
I was the same back though when I grew up. I was much more comfortable talking to people 12 years older than me than I was my own age group. I just found
Do you think all the vaccinations that they've given this poor guy? What do you think they are? That they've
dumbing
given
down? It's not the actual virus or whatever the bacteria or whatever they claim to be. It's the storage. It's the mercury. And the other agents and aluminium that's in those things, just to lobotomize you. Basically.
Heavy metals, mostly.
Because when
poison.
But what they say, though, the doctors would say to the parents, when their parents took them back in, there was, you know, like screaming headaches and they had a heat around the brain area. They would say, oh, that's a normal reaction to the thing. But what it was is basically lobotomizing the children slowly by burning out a part of the brain that created this, the thinking that we have, which is free thinking, that area of the brain got kind of frozen or burned out or whatever. And for those kids, instead of being in the spiritual or the stuff we're into, they're into sport or they're into gaming or something simple that their brains can adapt to easier. It was deliberately done.
Absolutely.
As Julian,
I'll say the vaccine regimen for my generation is a fraction of what it is in the modern generation. Like, I think I was required to get
7 to 13. And now it's 70.
Yeah, it's absolutely obscene.
My son was probably, he's like 2 years younger than you, and he probably only had like 7.
We had born in the 2010s.
They're just fucked with vaccines. It's so upsetting.
Look at the autism rate. It's really sad,
right,
isn't it?
That's what they said. They wanted to create that. So if you read Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, you had the fetans or the, what are they, not fetans? That's Scientology. The dumb generation. The more
them in utero to fulfill a role in society, essentially via vaccines.
It's all in the book. Julian Salk's, Aldous Huxley, Julian Huxley, Jonas Salk.
Well, it sure doesn't look like they're winning the war, as far as
when you think of how many people have had that many vaccines and humanity's still here.
Oh, I think they are.
They definitely are.
I think they're winning. There's, you try and have a conversation with someone. And the other thing that lobotomizes you of the highest magnitude is gaming, computers, screen time, TV time. Yeah, you got your 1080.
I'll make an argument against that. I grew up gaming. I'll try it. I'm just going to make an argument whether or not it works or not. I mean, that's on my hands. But
give it up for a day.
Most of my, I give it up for days at a time all the time, just by being busy with life. But
yeah, you may well, and that's probably why you're talking to us now. But I've got
My argument's the opposite of that. I grew up a gamer. I have 100,000 hours in games before the age of 20 easily. But what I didn't do, all I did was read and play video games. I didn't participate in pretty much anything mainstream. I wasn't in any of the online social media and all that stuff. I wasn't watching all the TV shows and everything everybody liked. And I think that's actually my saving grace, because video games are the only form of entertainment media in which you are consciously involved in decision making. You're not just fed information.
You're
put in situations where you have, I mean, the games I played, at least, I played mostly multiplayer competitive games. So I have to engage with people and make plans and actively think and try and improve myself, which is very different.
Yeah, okay. John LeBon and a few other people are about around your age group. Well, he's 33, but there's plenty of people that are wide awake from your generation. I'll give you that.
Really think there's an argument.
Hey, Rick. I'd love to play Ophelas in a game of chess. Not a computer game of chess. A real game of chess.
Well, does it matter if it's digital? We can play digital game right now, bro. We can do it on the chat.
Yeah, you reckon you can kick my ass?
No, I'm terrible at chess. I know how to play, and I'll happily play a game with you.
All right, man. Let's get it on. I played Turning Japanese and Duncan. That was just me having a little bit of fun with the
audio. Are you a Freemason?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Are you a Freemason? You've got a Freemason's kilt.
The apron.
I've got
the corner from where I'm standing right now. But
it's a great conversation, guys. Look. Seriously, Rick and I will be in court on the 31st of March,
yes, you will.
2021, and we're not going to make, I will call it a kangaroo court, but I will have tons of notes, and I will defend myself. Do you know what Joe said to me? Do you know what the penalty is possibly for what I did? It is 3 years in prison. 3 years.
Well, do you good. It'll do you good. Just don't get tattooed.
3 years in prison. I can't go to prison. I'm too pretty. I'll get raped.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. All right, keep going, guys. I'm loving this conversation. Keep going, guys.
Rollo, are you that guy on Omegle that dresses up as the Joker and yells racial profanities?
Yeah, is that really you?
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's me. Rick was with me in Sydney when that guy got his head cracked on the concrete and bled out. Oh, no, he didn't bleed out, but it was pretty rubbish what they did to him.
He bled everywhere, that's for sure. I'm pretty sure that was
God, the blood.
The trouble we got onto fakeologist.com when we said we were there by certain people. Accused us of lying about that we weren't there. Like Dave J said, liars, you weren't there. A few other people said the same thing. We were there, and we saw what we saw. And
come out of the train station. I was lucky to even get to meet you, Rick, because
the cops followed.
The second I got off the train, the cops grabbed me and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I there
and then they got us
rehab.
And then they got us a
and then I went, leave me alone. I'm gonna go and see my mate." And then another cop grabbed me, like, you know, put his hand on me, and you know, that's assault, really. Anyway, it I is. Just went, "What's going on, mate? What's going on? Why are you dressed like that?" I'm going to see my mate. We're going to a fancy dress party. So that was a bit of a lie, right? You know, that was a bit of a lie, Rick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I finally got up to see you, and at least then, and even then we got harassed. Yeah.
Yeah, but we were nice, and we spoke to the police nicely, and you lied to them and said that you did it as a bet, and you lost the bet, and that's why you're dressed as a joker.
That's it. Got it.
Yeah. It was fine. No problem whatsoever. After that.
But I will not be wearing that. I will have a fresh shaven face. Maybe I'll do the Tom Barnett thing and go a full bald head when I go into the courtroom.
What a handsome man he is. I just saw his latest...
tell me about that.
His latest YouTube. And he's talking about the mind. And Vidya, are you still there talking? Are you there, Vidya? Are you there, Vidya?
I'm here. I was just saying telling Purple I think I'm going to go to bed.
Okay. I'm going to get
good night.
Go on, mute.
But I'll send you the new Tom Barnett, who's you'll be into this, what he discusses on his latest YouTube. So I'll send it to you on the
message. Oh, Barnett, yeah. Didn't you already do that?
I didn't, but someone might have. Someone sent it on to, it was him talking about the mind and the power of the mind. So someone might have done it.
Yeah, he sure has it nailed, doesn't he? He has it.
Yeah. Great guy. And he's got a good, you can tell by his voice. I can tell by people's voices where they're coming from.
He's like solid in his beliefs, and it does resonate, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's got a strong, calm, genuine voice. And he's not out in there for the money. And that's, I can't stand people in it for the money of any form. If you're in it for the money, you're in it for the wrong reason. You've got to be in it for your own peace of mind.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time trying, you know, some people that I thought were shills, I'm starting to see that they're basically humanity. And I don't know, maybe it's one faction of the shill population has decided I'm going to fight for humanity. I don't know, but some of them are coming out
at the end of the day, if you're not doing it for the right reason and you can feel that you might actually have been
right.
taking money, then people just start waking up and going, "Hang on, I'm dealing with my own soul here.
Right.
I've got to start doing the right thing." So hopefully,
you have 47 seconds, Rollo, to make a move in our chess game. You join.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, thank you, fellas. I'm going to kick your ass. John Laws, 1-300-564-652. He's in it for the right reasons, isn't he? Don't you reckon, Rick?
No. No.
We're going to bed.
Yeah, but yeah,
Purple.
And Purple Fight's going to be, and no wonder it's getting late.
It's getting late,
My computer's
going down too. Are you still there,
Okay.
Are you going?
Yeah, I think I'm
good rolling night, girls. Out of here. All right,
good night,
dear. Good night. We'll talk again soon.
God, yeah, it's like 12:30 California time, and you know everybody goes to bed at 10 here. So you guys are pretty special.
Oh, fellas.
Saturday
night. Checkmate.
You didn't make a move at your time limit. We have to start a new game.
Good night, all.
Checkmate.
Good night.
All right, guys.
Good night, girls.
Have a good one. Good night.
We will. Good night, Vinay and Purple Play.
Bye.
Have a good, sweet dreams. Negative
Thank
thoughts.
You
Go
too.
Out the window. Negative dreams out the window. Just positive.
How do I turn this thing off here?
You don't. We watch you sleep.
Bling, bling. Rollo.
I know. I was just having fun. That's okay.
Yeah,
thank you again, Esoteric, for yesterday. I mean, you really did.
No worries, man.
Cheer me up. And everybody on Fakeologist cheers me up. Yeah, so...
Why wouldn't they?
And we're going to do a fart podcast. I spoke to Bellaset last night.
I sent a message to our man, the main man.
Oh yeah, noise level or.
And I haven't heard back. I haven't heard back. So
that's all right. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, he better be. He better be here.
Well, if he's not painting, stars of David all over the place.
I doubt that.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, I'm going to go and have a bath.
Go and have a bath. Nice. Hey, fellas, it's nice to talk to you too. You've got a wonderful voice, though, fellas. I don't know how you do that, but it just must be a gift.
Are you going to make a move on our chess game? Or are you just going to try and...
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in my yellow sleeker, and I'm going down to the village to get some more Red Bull to go with my vodka.
Okay.
But it is so again, you guys, even that you're willing to talk to me is, that's what I take, as a positive thing because there are times where I get really, really downhearted. And I play that, maybe you can play that, oh fellas. There's an Australian band called Downhearted. Who sung that, Rick?
He's already gone. And I don't
know. Oh, James Rain. Yeah, Downhearted. Yeah. And I get downhearted. Can we go out with Downhearted, oh fellas?
Go for it.
All right. Okay. Let me just see if I remember how to do this.
But yeah.
Because I did bump in. Go again. Take two.
I was saying it's been a great chat tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Hi, this is Matthew.
This is Maria Laquita.
Mark Manuel. This is OBF.
Noise level. Polly Milton.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, thank you, Velocet. Yeah, it was wonderful, those bumpers that he's redone ever since Ab lost his Discord.
Because censorship isn't real.
Oh, fuck me, I tell you. Ever since Donnie Trump's gone. Do you want to talk politics at all?
I'll talk about anything, dude. I'm just chilling.
Yeah. Okay. Donald Trump, I thought was just the embodiment of America. And
we've talked about Donald Trump. Yeah, we both very much approve of Donald Trump. Like, I still think he's a fiat. Like, he's totally controlled opposition. But even so, he still managed to be one of the best presidents in a long time. It's so
control opposition and best friends. Exactly. Makes you feel good. Every time he opened his mouth, didn't you just feel like you were on drugs? Like you'd taken a line of whatever Hunter Biden's on, bloody crack fucking cocaine or whatever.
He's literally just being like, all of this is bullshit. I'm showing you this is all bullshit. And people are mad at me. He's like, it's all bullshit. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to help. I'm just trying to show you how nonsensical this whole system is.
And since Joe Biden's come in, like the whole of razor wire and fences around the, not even, you can't even get, did you see that Ocasio Cortez, AOC? Lying her through her teeth, and yeah, complete
a perfect representation of the liberal agenda.
Yes,
constantly being
she wasn't even in the goddamn the Capitol building. She wasn't
even in there. Yeah, she was.
No, she wasn't.
Okay,
she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
Not on January 6th. No, she was two blocks away.
Okay, it wasn't.
Yeah, and it's been proven. And,
I was trying to do the meme where you're like, did you hear she almost died? So. And you're like, no, she didn't. I'm like, but she was there. And you're like, no, she wasn't. I'm like, no, she wasn't.
Oh, okay. Sorry, dude. I'm sorry to tread on your meme, Ophel. Sorry, dude.
But yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. And I hope it enlightens people.
I love America, man. I love it. What's not to love about America? I mean,
it's so hilarious. Like, we're literally the last ground for success of the free people with our guns, and yet we're the most fucking retarded. It's
You could point a gun at my head, and you could point a gun at my head, and
well, you can't in Australia.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's a joke. Okay.
I've had friends.
What are you gonna do? How many guns? Sorry, Opals. How many guns do you own?
Oh, I don't own any because I don't own anything of value.
I don't at the moment because I don't trust myself with a gun at the moment.
But I'll be getting a gun this month, absolutely.
Sure.
Before I can.
Automatic? Can you buy an automatic or just?
There's a wait list. I'm going to get a 22. Something like.
Have you got open carry where you are? Have you got open carry?
Yeah, I'm on the Pacific Coast, so they're pretty.
So you got open carry? Yeah. That's fine. Look, I've been around guns all my life. I just won't have one in the house at the moment. Plus, it's not easy to have them here in Australia. It's just because I'm suffering a bit of depression because my wife is in and out at the moment. And
Mostly out.
Yeah, mostly out. That's right. And if I get like a bit drunk and then put a gun in the top of my mouth and then press the trigger, I don't want to do that because that's the easy way out.
Who would I laugh with at 1 a.m. on Fakeologist?
Oh, thanks, dude. You know, I'd laugh with, or you can laugh at. I don't mind laughing at me or with me. I prefer
with. With is much more.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I guess so.
Who else is going
to
enjoy the
opportunity? I was going to go out with Downhearted, but I think that might be a bit too depressing. So I'm going to let you go out with a tune, Opalus, because I'm going to take the dog, because I've got a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel that I need to take for a walk, because she needs to do a shit. In America you say poopy, don't you? A poop. So I'm going to take her out for a poop. What song would you like to go out with?
I'm going to play Down Under.
Oh, Down Under. Yeah, Men at Work.
Yeah.
Can you play it or do you want me to do it?
You can do it because I'm failing. Because I'm trying.
Down Under. Nah, you're failing. All right. You're failing. Here we go.
I did it. I'm good.
Oh, you're the man. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Fakeologist.com. Down Under. Hey, Palace. Rollo. And everybody else that joined us tonight.
Traveling in a faded zombie, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where men go and men follow. Find bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. I come from a land down under, where people flow and men chunder. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. We'll be right back.
That's all, folks.